particularly the Ivory Coast, and Ghana, to think that little Australia and little New Zealand could get to a World Cup is terrific. Robbie, thanks for your time. We chat again tomorrow.
See you later, boys.
I'm Kim Cartwright. Legendary Australian guitarist and AC/DC guy who inspired many. Rock and roll legend and AC/DC founder Malcolm Young has died aged 64. Young had been suffering from dementia for the past 3 years. He was replaced by his nephew Stevie for the band's last tour promoting the 2014 album Rock or Bust. Malcolm died peacefully overnight with his family by his bedside. Speaking to Dutch TV show Lola de Musica in 2000, he told how the success of AC/DC was in their entertaining live shows.
And otherwise people could see it once and next time they, well, we saw it, we've got the record, who cares, you know? But AC/DC, some concerts can be, because of the what Angus does on the show on that night, or Brian, there's lots of, you know, it's just that performance, and they come in, well, something's going to happen on that stage tonight. They always know that.
The campaign launches of Labor and the Liberal National Party will have no bearing on the votes of more than 200,000 Queenslanders who have already cast their ballot for the November 25 election. The Electoral Commission Queensland says a record number of votes has been cast in the first 5 days of pre-polling. It's 80,000 more than for the same period before the 2015 election, and the figure doesn't include those who attended yesterday. Both Labor and the LNP will launch their respective campaigns today. Ms. Palaszczuk will make speeches on the Gold Coast, while Mr. Nichols will address the faithful in Brisbane. Huge crowds have been demonstrating in Zimbabwe's capital, Harare. The military-controlled ZANU-PF party is planning to meet today to sack Mr. Mugabe and reinstate the former vice president into power. The BBC's Andrew Harding is there.
It's been an extraordinary day here in Harare, the entire city engulfed by huge, happy crowds, all demanding that President Mugabe step down immediately. The fear that has kept so many Zimbabweans in check for years seems to have vanished overnight.
It's Freedom Day. They should declare it a national holiday.
We can't even contain ourselves. I feel like jumping up and down. Oh my God!
The army is keeping order and keeping protesters away from President Mugabe, who remains under house arrest. His fate is still unclear, but his ZANU-PF party has now turned emphatically against him, and today the people have delivered a loud, unprecedented message to the man who's ruled this nation for 37 years.
An alarming number of Australians are still being sunburnt, with many failing to wear adequate clothing as well as sunscreen. The latest National Sun Protection Survey shows more than 2.7 million adults are getting sunburnt on the weekend, a similar proportion to a decade ago. Dr. Andrew Miller from the College of Dermatologists is concerned by the findings.
Sunscreens are actually just a filter. They'll slow down the rate at which you burn, but they won't stop you from burning. What you need to do is consider the other forms of sun protection that are going to give you more complete block, making sure we've got the right clothes, hats, sunglasses, and of course, shade.
Also in news, a man has been bashed with a baseball bat at a suburban shopping centre in Melbourne. His alleged attacker, a 31-year-old, was arrested a short time later and charged with assault. This is AIR News. England had experienced their fair share of demoralising days in the Queensland sun, but just 5 days out from the Ashes, they didn't expect another soul-destroying one. The visitors' final Ashes preparations ended yesterday in embarrassing fashion as grade cricketers Jason Sanger and Matt Short combined for a 4.5-hour, 263-run stand to take the Cricket Australia 11 towards a draw. The score at stumps, 4 for 364. Citroën driver Craig Breen is doing his first ever Rally Australia and is finding it challenging. The Irishman is in fourth place, coming into day three of the final round of the World Rally Championship. Hyundai's Thierry Neuville has a 22nd lead over Toyota's Jari Matilatvala, with Ford's Oit Tanak in third. Breen will be happy to stay ahead of Hyundai's Hayden Padden, who's fifth, but doesn't anticipate any chance of winning from where he stands.
Try to maintain the fourth place if we can, keep in front of Hayden, and would be a good way to finish the season.
Do you reckon a podium is possible?
It's difficult here fighting against the likes of these guys in front of me that have done the rally so many times. I can only do so much.
In golf, Jason Scrivener takes a one-shot lead into the final round of the New South Wales Open at Twin Creeks. Cairns have smashed Illawarra 87-66 in the NBL, and dual equestrian gold medalist Gillian Rolton has died after a two-year battle with endometrial cancer. She was 61. Australian Independent Radio News.
The Tab app is proudly made by punters. Punters like Steve. Yeah, I squeezed in more live racing than any other app and added race replays so you can brush up on a runner's past performances. Funny story that. I built it using hexadecimal code and thank you, Steve. You can check out his handiwork by downloading the Tab app today. Tab, we love a bet. Live Race Vision covers all televised Australian racing. Racing Vision available for Tab account customers only. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.
Dynamic Syndications and Gay Waterhouse offer affordable racehorse ownership. Here's Gay.
Dynamic Syndications are my primary syndicators and I love training for their owners. They buy top quality, sound, athletic and beautiful pedigreed horses. I will be training for them at my Randwick and Flemington stables.
We invite you to join our Dynamic Gay Waterhouse team. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-61-9999. AFSL 336808.
Get a 10% Bingley gift card with any 4K UHD TV at Bingley. Yes, a 10% Bingley gift card with a 4K UHD TV. Here's the deal. Buy a TV with around 8 million tiny dots called pixels on the screen.
Lano, did you count them?
Mum, the tech guys did. And they call it 4K UHD, ultra high definition. Get a 10% gift card when you buy one at Bingley.
And there's a great deal more in store.
For limited time only. Terms and conditions apply. See Bingley. Leader.com.au for details.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
Milos Nikovic, Rolanto available, can hit them from long range, will try one, what a goal, what a superb goal by Josh Rolanto, it's just his second in the Hyundai A-League, and it is a peach.
It's one corner remaining for Chas Mostert, 250 hard fought kilometres, and super cheap auto racing is
well
victorious,
done. Well done.
Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome to the program. Hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. Can you believe it? He is back in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Ray Thomas in Sydney Town. Welcome back, Ray.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, everyone. Great to be back on Ashes Eve, virtually.
On Ashes Eve, but how was your, what were you, 4 or 5 Sundays in?
Four Sundays in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Cold spring down there.
Yeah, horrible part of the world. But anyway, we look forward to you being in the studio now until right up until Christmas. Do we get you till Christmas?
Oh, are we going beyond Christmas? Do we know?
We don't know yet.
You haven't had those discussions
Not
yet.
As yet, okay. Raymond. We will play that by ear, very much by ear. Big show, dare I say it.
It's massive, isn't
it? Yes, it is, Raymond. You know it is. Replays coming up very shortly. Laurie Ray, congratulations to her. First Sydney winner.
Saturday winner, yep.
Lord Kingsley. First Sydney Saturday winner, so great for Laurie there. We'll have a chat to Lloyd Williams. Has he had a Saturday winner?
Had a few lately, hasn't he? Had a couple on Tuesday as well.
The Tuesday winners are the ones he probably gets most excited about.
Rekindled, and yesterday won the Zipping. We had a Quinella in the Zipping Classic.
Yeah.
With an Aidan O'Brien cast off.
The Taj Mahal. We can ask Lloyd about that. It's fascinating. He's now won 6 Melbourne Cups.
Incredible.
They say he spends between $6 and $7 million just on the horse flesh.
I reckon that'd be conservative, Jim.
Right. I read that in an Australian Financial Review.
Yeah, so I reckon it'd be more than that.
Okay. So, and of course, big news, Robert Hickmont has trained for the last time and Liam Howley taking over. So, lots to talk about with the great Lloyd Williams. We'll have our scratchings with Tanya. Adrian Bott had a couple of winners yesterday in training in partnership with Gay Waterhouse.
And one at Sandown. Another stakes winner at in Melbourne. That's six consecutive Saturdays.
There you go. Mm. Speaking of Saturday winners, Adrian Bott having one there. We'll go over to England. The Wallabies have been beaten by England 30 points to 6. It sounds like a real disappointment, but it was full of controversy. And in the Australian performance, it was certainly a lot closer. I think the scoreline was 13-6.
With 10 minutes to go.
Correct.
And a disallowed Corabetti try.
Three disallowed tries.
Yes.
So we'll find out exactly how things are going with News Limited's Jim Tucker over there. Andrew Marmont has written a book, Their Finest Hour. It relates to the Rugby League World Cup.
Outstanding,
Jim. We saw some Finest Hours yesterday.
I read that yesterday. Absolutely outstanding.
He's from NRL.com, so we can have a chat to Andrew about that.
Picked out 10 of the greatest World Cup matches in history. The first World Cup tournament, 1954.
Yes.
Right through until, this is the present tournament. Some unbelievable games.
There might be some amendments that he has to make, some additions that he has to make on the back of the games that we've seen
yesterday.
Just incredible. We'll go through those very shortly. Michael Carrianos will help us go through that as well. He's from the Daily Telegraph, their rugby league, their number one rugby league, right? What are you laughing at?
He just reinsert number one.
And of course, we've got the Event Cinemas quiz score update.
I don't want to go there now after this. Text from David from Wattlegrove.
Well, David from Wattlegrove.
He's fired up straight away.
He sends text messages about the quiz.
He loves you, doesn't he?
Almost on a weekly basis. I don't think loves. I think loves too strong a word, right?
Okay.
Jim, today's the day. You either win this morning's quiz or you're gone. Obviously, the deck is well and truly stacked against you. Yes, I know what you're talking about there, David. But good luck.
So you perpetuate this misconception.
I haven't perpetuated it. I think the listeners can hear it. Who did I speak to during the week who basically said, you're no chance, are you, with the quiz? I said, yeah, you're right. I'm glad you can hear that. This is David from Ottawa. P.S., if Ray asks for a score check, just deck him. Tanya. Look, I don't want to.
Dave, I know you're a great supporter of Jimmy, but Jimmy's the one who always says score check. I forget half the time. What is the score, by the way?
Hang on a minute.
Yeah.
You are quite right. I am the one who always says score check. You do never forget what the score is.
Actually, is it 24-20?
There you go. What a great guess. What a great guess. It's the last thing you check on your phone before you walk in the studio, isn't it?
It was a guess.
24-20 is the correct scoreline.
So if by David's reckoning, we've got four Sundays to go before Christmas, have we?
No, we've got... I was doing the math the other day, actually, trying to look at it. Today will be the seven, including today.
So you're still... It's all mathematically...
I'm gone.
No, you're not. You never give up.
Especially knowing what's stacked against me.
Perpetuated this urban myth. It's become
a great point, Ray.
Yeah, thanks, Mossy.
Thanks, Mossy.
After 9 o'clock, we'll have Ben Horn on. Is there anyone we've got on the program that doesn't work for News Limited?
Good people.
Ben Horn, he's the number one cricket writer for the Daily Telegraph.
Make sure you insert that, yes.
Exactly. Talking about the Ashes, we'll get to that very shortly. Robbie Slater, we'll have a chat with Robbie too. He's a Fox League Fox Sports employee. Tanya will give us a sports update. Nick Quinn from tab.com.au. And, of course, we want to get your calls. 1353 53, the open line number. SMS 0419 767 272. And the tweet, you can get us on at Big Sports WEND. For the best caller today, we have a copy of Andrew Marmont's book, Their Finest Hour. For the best SMS today, we have a copy of Andrew Marmont's book, Their Finest Hour. So two copies to give away. So we want to encourage you to get involved in the program. I want to encourage you to get involved right now, Raymond Thomas. Your Ashes 11, was it anything like the Ashes 11 that was produced by the Australian selectors during the course of the week?
In a word, no.
Yeah.
Tim Payne, absolute bolter. I thought they might have gone Peter Neville.
Mm.
Tim Payne, an absolute bolter. Cam Bancroft, he scored a mountain of runs this season.
Undeniable.
Had to come into the team. I thought he might come in at six, but I can understand the logic. Why try and manufacture a number six batsman when his position is to open?
Mm.
Matt Renshaw, I feel very sorry for. You know, his last test match in Australia, he scored 100?
Yeah, but that's a long... He's a batsman out of form.
I like Matt Renshaw. Bats time. I would have backed him.
He's got a lot of limitations with his technique.
There's a lot of players in world cricket who like that, Jimmy.
Well, you look at Steve Smith, you wouldn't have picked him on
technique. Exactly, yeah. I just think he's a young player who's could well be the backbone of that team for many, many years to come. Can he bounce back from this?
He's 21 years of age.
He wouldn't have seen it coming.
Yes, he would have.
Only in the last couple of weeks, up until then, he would have thought he was definitely playing for Australia.
But that's the thing.
The bongo drums were beating for a couple of weeks.
But if the selectors say to you, and I mean this for Matt Renshaw, I mean it for Peter Neville, I mean it for Glenn Maxwell, I mean it for Moses Enriquez, I mean it for Marcus Stoinis, a little bit unlucky there because he missed the game. But if they say to you, we want you to perform under pressure, because if you think Shield games are pressure, where you're trying to bat for your spot, imagine walking out at the Gabba when you're 3 for 30.
Correct.
And England's playing and you're in front of 30,000 people.
But Matt Renshaw showed last summer he can perform under pressure. But I understand your point, Matt Renshaw's form and Bancroft had to come into the side at some point. So if they weren't going to pick him at six, which is obviously, my understanding, Jim, is that the selection meeting for this team went for 2.5 hours on three spots.
So it should.
World record, they reckon, three spots.
So it should.
And it was to determine where they put Bancroft.
Right.
Obviously, Renshaw was dropped.
They were obviously going to put him somewhere.
Yes.
Bancroft was in. I think six and seven were the ones. Six and seven. Who's going to bat six for us? Who's going to keep wicket for us? Now, Peter Neville, for all intents and purposes...
Did you see Tim Payne coming?
There was a whisper around.
Doesn't even keep gloves for his state.
Well, I tell you what, this is the thing that Ben Horne wrote yesterday that I thought was interesting, that there was a real look at the response from Matthew Wade in those Bangladesh test matches when he was challenged a little bit, and then Tim Payne came in for the T20s, or the international T20s, and he just dropped his head a little bit. And that's not the response they want.
Yeah.
So if you look at it from this point of view, I don't know, Cameron Bancroft, they say he's a tough kid. Sean Marsh will do anything for the team. Tim Payne is a fantastic team man. Now, I know in cricket where it's very stats-based, that may not count for a lot, but I think in this Ashes selection, it's counted for a whole heap.
On that theory, the last Ashes series at home, George Bailey played right through the five test series, only got one score above 50.
Yeah.
But that team ethos. He was great for the side, great for the team.
Team first.
Players wanted to play around George Bailey. Sean Marsh is 34. I know he's had, this is his eighth recall. He's had plenty of chances.
Some of those have been injury too.
Correct, yeah. But I don't mind him coming in at six after two right-handers as well. So I don't mind that.
Well, you're a massive Sean Marsh fan, aren't you?
I love his technique. I know he tends to nudge a bit to the slips, but I love watching when he's in full flight. I don't mind the balance of the side either. Jimmy, I know there's a lot of talk about an all-rounder, but if an all-rounder's not good enough to hold his position and you're bowling him primarily to bowl 10 overs, they shouldn't be in the side.
Totally agree.
So we've got six batsmen, we've got four bowlers, which I think can do the job.
I agree with you around the bowlers. I see England saying, we're not that scared of things now because Mitchell Johnson's gone. They haven't faced Pat Cummins.
And there's been a bit of rain around in Brisbane this week. Why do they face Pat Cummins on a green top?
13:53:53. We'll take your thoughts on that. Get us on the SMS as well. The other thing is about those World Cup games. Australia 46 points to nil over Samoa on Friday night. The best that Australia have played.
Jeez, how good. Went great.
Yeah. Valentine Holmes, five tries. That was the best that I'd seen Australia play this tournament, and it was a little bit ominous for who they come up against in the future. That will be Fiji in the semi-final.
The two games yesterday, Jim, were as compelling as rugby league as you'll see. A 4-2 scoreline, Fiji versus New Zealand, and could you take your eyes off the TV? It was great footy.
Unbelievable. Tears of joy for Jared Hayne and Kevin Nagama after it. Tonga 24 points to Lebanon 22.
Lebanon had three
tries disallowed, including a really controversial one with a shepherd. But in the end, they had their opportunities as well. But absolutely outstanding games of footy. Outstanding. And to New Zealand, David Kidwell. What would the future be for David Kidwell? He made the hard-line decision over Jesse Bromwich and Kevin Proctor. He stuck by it. It may well have come back to bite him. Did he do the right thing? I guess the results show that he didn't.
Correct. Yeah, I think he's probably 10 years coaches over, is it, Jim?
I would have thought so.
Early in the week, fantastic news for the Australian Socceroos. They get through beating Honduras 3-1. Milo Jednak, unbelievable. Do you know he wore the same number, jersey 15, as John Aloisi scored when he took that penalty?
Oh, good pickup.
Yeah. Trent Sainsbury at the back.
He's a superstar.
Mate, does he ever make a mistake?
He's
I know a lot of focus is on Jednak and how good he was, and he was fantastic, he controlled the... But at the back, Trent Sainsbury is as rock solid as you'll find in world footy. He was incredible.
He's not even rock solid, he's creative from the back. His passing... I remember watching him in the Asian Cup and thinking, wow.
No one gets past him.
I don't know my football so well, but I just thought, this guy is a class above.
He stands out like a beacon.
Trent Sainsbury is
so good.
Absolute superstar. Which brings us to our... I thought, by the way, you were going to talk about during the course of the week, the yes vote with marriage equality that got over the line. I thought you were going to mention that when you...
Did you want me to?
No, it's up to you, Roman.
I have no issue with that. I think it's a fair call.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I voted yes myself. 1353 53, the open line number. Just before we go to our first break, our talk topic for today?
Innovations in sport.
Because the World Surfing League are now having a tournament next year at Kelly Slater's wave pool.
Home ground advantage. Jim.
Oh, come on. the beauty of it is, from a TV point of view, you know when it's on. But that's the beauty of it. Because previously they go, well, look, we'll put a 12-day window here and hopefully we'll get some waves over
the other thing
J-Bay.
Too, you're always going to get a wave there.
Always.
You don't have to worry about
you
waves.
You paddle out, you'll get a wave.
Exactly.
So it's really great. But has it robbed the sport of some of its essence, its appeal, its beauty?
I think so.
I think it
has.
We
don't know yet, but I think so. Certainly got some of those mystery elements taken away.
So now we're looking for innovations in sport.
What, that worked or didn't work?
Didn't work, worked, probably didn't work, is more interesting.
DK Lilly's aluminium bat.
Oh, have you heard the story about the DK Lilly aluminium bat?
No.
He walked out the bat with it, and the umpire said, look, what's that? No, you can't use that. So he went, oh, right, I was well packed in. And then when he got back into the sheds, Rod Marsh said, what are you talking about, mate? You have every right to use that bat. Get back out there and use that bat. So that's when he walked back out, and he threw the bat. Remember, he threw the bat about 30 metres? So that was the story around that.
Needless to say, didn't catch on.
Didn't catch on. Innovations in sport that don't work.
You got one?
NRL bunker. Did I say that out loud? It's not the bunker itself. It's the implementation of the bunker. Anyway, up for grabs. We've got, what have we got? Books to give away. Their Finest Hour, the Rugby League World Cup, written by Andrew Marmont. Get us on the open line, get us on the SMS. 1353 53 is that number. It's 21 minutes past 7, ladies and gents. Time for our first break.
Mum, do you hear that beeping sound?
You left the fridge door open again.
Close. It's the sound of Bingley trucks loading new refrigerators ready for free delivery.
And free unpacking. We take away the packaging too.
And we'll take away your old fridge free.
It's a great deal.
Buy any new refrigerator right now from Bingley and you'll get free full service delivery.
You know when the beeping will stop, Lionel?
Yes, very soon. So be quick. See in store or bingley.com.au for details.
The injury-plagued but brilliant Yankee rock star. The only son of the ill-fated siring sensation Rock and Roll Hanover standing in New South Wales. Winner of 22 races from only 35 starts.
Bowtie keeps fighting. Out wide Yankee rock star with a magnificent run. A hoka punter. Yankee rock star out wide. A hoka punter. Yankee rock star. The rock star's got up. Yankee rock star beat a hoka punter. Bowtie third.
Standing at Yerribee Stud. Visit yerribee.com.au.
The Tab app is proudly made by punters. Punters like Steve.
Yeah, I squeezed in more live racing than any other app and added race replays so you can brush up on a runner's past performances. Funny story that. I built it using hexadecimal code and thank you, Steve.
You can check out his handiwork by downloading the Tab app today. Tab, we love a bet.
Live Race Vision covers all televised Australian racing. Racing Vision available to TAB account customers only. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.
The Richmond Riches Puppy Auction is on again Sunday, November 26 from 10 a.m. With more than 90 quality pups to be sold, the auction is a nursery for future stars. 30 Talks and Mr. Twister, both auction graduates, have won Group 1 events and over $300,000 prize money. All greyhounds are eligible for the 2019 $50,000 Richmond Riches Race Series. So why not form a syndicate and get to Richmond Greyhound Track on Sunday, November 26 to buy a future champion.
Elmandon and Heartbreak City, what a finish to the Melbourne Cup. Elmandon putting his nose in front of Heartbreak City. They hit the line. Elmandon won it by a very narrow margin from Heartbreak City.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
welcome back to the show with Jimmy Ray and Ray. It's good to be back, Jim. Great to be back on a Sunday.
How was it?
Working with you, hey?
Yeah. Jeez, you whispered that.
How long's it been now?
Oh, I think it's at least 7 years, isn't it?
Is it seven years? And you're still talking to me.
Well, it's funny you mention that because the number of people who have left the Daily Telegraph from a journalistic point of view with their racing, I just think you might be really hard to work with.
What are you saying, Jim?
I think you might be one of those bosses that's really hard to work with.
Jeez.
You think what you're doing is a bare minimum when everyone knows what you do is up here, so
we've been
high.
7 years together, correct?
That's right. Yeah, but it's only a Sunday, so I can get away from you for 6 days.
Okay, have we ever had a crossword in 7 years?
I don't think so. No.
That says a lot.
Yeah, that's more about you than it is about me.
Finally, the truth comes out.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, we'll get down to business. Girls Day out here at Rose Hill yesterday. Another great crowd. Just under 10,000 at Rose Hill yesterday, Jim.
Are we calling that a great crowd now, are we?
This time of year, yes.
Okay.
Just over 4,000 went to Canterbury on Friday night. So
that's
continued that momentum that's been going through the spring. And we saw some really good wins yesterday. One of those, Lord Kingsley, Laurie raced first at a Sydney Saturday meeting.
Abdullah says, catch me if you can, boys. 5 lengths clear on the turn on Lead Choreographer. The favourites giving chase, though. Impavido, 5 off around the turn. Then Shalmanisa and Collateral. They've got 3:50 to run. It's Lead Choreographer, 3 in front. Impavido and Shalmanisa are going to it quickly. He's on Jelly Legs, the leader. And Impavido and Shalmanisa went straight past Lead Choreographer. Here come the swoopers. Cars off. Lord Kingsley and Imperial Aviator starting to fly late. Imperial Aviator and Lord Kingsley. Imperial Aviator. Lord Kingsley, the outside, got him. Lord Kingsley got up to beat Imperial Aviator. Cars off third.
After an unlucky second, beaten in the photo over the 1,800, now gets to the 2,000 metres, gets a win, Lord Kingsley. We mentioned the first for Laurie Ray on a Saturday in the city. We'll speak to Laurie very shortly too. And the other thing about it is Timmy Clark lost the whip.
He did, about 200 metres out.
Yeah, and so apparently it's a horse that needs a bit of persuasion too.
Yeah,
so,
but he still lifted that horse over the line. Great job by Laurie. 3 wins from 5 starts this prep. About a horse who had a few problems last campaign, but she sort of ironed out those kinks. Race 5, this is a nice horse. Cabeza de Vaca, his second win this preparation. 5 from 5 he's won now, and he's on the way to the Villiers.
50 out, and Cabeza de Vaca shot 4 in front. First hand, though, is giving pursuit strongly. It's Cabeza de Vaca, 3 in front of first hand. Federal goes into third, but Cabeza de Vaca still in front. 150 out, 2 lengths clear from first hand. Red excitement late, but Cabeza de Vaca won't stop in the lead, and Cabeza de Vaca will hang on by 3/4 to first hand. Federal third, just in front of Gamblestown, then Red excitement.
An absolute dream, apparently, to train and ride. Rachel King, another good ride from her. Wide gate, push forward, then drop them at the 600. And they couldn't couldn't make up the ground there. Very good win. Just its 14th start for a 6-year-old.
Well,
very lightly raced.
He won 3 straight over summer last year into January and then didn't race until last month. So he's obviously had a couple little issues. We'll ask Adrian Bott about that. But they've got this horse back flying. And as his distances increase, 1,600 metres up to 2,000, he's even more effective. So he's going great guns. I think the best horse racing yesterday was this bloke from Godolphin, Interlocutor.
Well, New Tipperary's not responding to the urgings, and Embley turns in front from Black on Gold. 2 further back to New Tipperary, and now Interlocutor. He sits pretty quiet. Interlocutor starting to make the move down the outside. It's Embley being joined by Black on Gold, but Interlocutor the outside chimes in. He hasn't beaten them off yet. It's Interlocutor just getting to the front. Now he's starting to pull clear from Black on Gold and Embley. It's Interlocutor drawing clear the last little bit. Shorter than a garden gnome in the betting, but he got the job done by a length and a half. Black on Gold second, Embley third, then Prince.
Well, we spoke to James Cummings at the end of October and talked about this former French horse and wondered what the best distance was. Now that's 1,900 metres. Had to do a little bit of work. They had to shake him up a little bit, though.
Interesting comments by Ty England after the race. He feels the horse's best trip at the moment is about 1,600 metres when he can really unleash that devastating turn of foot. Yesterday, he sort of grinded away once he hit the front. He was still dominant, still won well. Did have a quick chat with James Cummings yesterday. Unsure of immediate plans with Interlocutor. They don't want to spill him at this stage anyway, so the Villiers is still in the back of their mind, but he is a nice horse going forward. Another very promising horse going forward came out of the last race. Strong form race this. Glenore will pick up for Team Hawks. Just beats another smart horse. Tactical Advantage.
It's Cool Ringin' Tango Rain. Glenall getting plenty of daylight. Pomelo's going up the fence. Tactical Advantage trying to improve. Then came Fickle Folly. They've got 300 to run. Tango Rain in front from Glenall. Tactical Advantage takes the run on the inside. It's Tango Rain from Glenall. Tactical Advantage is surging on the far side. Tactical Advantage goes to Glenall. Tactical Advantage and Glenall. Glenall. Glenall, the outside, just won it from Tactical Advantage. I think Ziggy will...
Yeah, good call, Darren. Glenall was the one there for Hawks and Avdullah. $5.50 Glenall was paying. What's Hawks Yard looking for Glenall?
Remember about 3 years ago, remember the Rockhampton Rocket, our boy Malachi went berserk over the Sydney Summer Sprints?
Yes.
Wouldn't be surprised to see if Glenall does something similar.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of good options from coming up in over the next month or so that they could pick and choose. Don't forget the second horse, either Tactical Advantage. He's bursting to win a race, Jim. Feature races, or the Spring Carnival, basically finished at Sandown yesterday. Good races all day. The first, the Zipping Classic. The Taj Mahal brings his European form to Sandown.
Then Big Duke Berisha and Sosi Bond, but it's the Taj Mahal. 400 metres to go, clicked up, leads by a length and a half to Dandy Gent. El Mandan runs on, followed by Big Duke and Sosi Bond from a long way back, but the Taj Mahal, 200 metres to go, is 3 lengths in front of El Mandan, Big Duke, Sosi Bond, Berisha, but it's all the Taj Mahal. Today, a wonder of Sandown. The Taj Mahal won it by 3 lengths, El Mandan, Big Duke third from Berisha, then Sosi Bond.
So the Williams slash Hickmon stable in form. Matty Hill still in form as well. The wonder of Sandown today for the Taj Mahal. Poor over the Caulfield Guineas trip, Taj Mahal.
Yeah, just needed time to acclimatise, I think. It's interesting, Jim. He's a three-year-old by Northern Hemisphere time, just like Rekindling was.
Yes. So, Galileo, you're so thrilling. That's the breeding there for the Taj Mahal. And, of course, improved with that Emirates run last Saturday, and they did the quick back up and proved to be the right rein to pull.
Just too good for Al Mandan. Down to the last race, long time ago. I mentioned earlier that Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott have now gone 6 consecutive Saturdays in Melbourne this spring with at least one stakes winner. They had to wait for the last at Sandown. The last race of the Spring Carnival, long time ago.
As they run down Corrigan Dip at the 450. Mrs. Gardenia behind those horses. Long time ago behind them with the red cap. And then came Invincibella. Petition still a long way back in the purple. And Lucy and Rio down the outside. Red is the rose. Mrs. Gardenia at the 200. Oregon's Day on the outside. Long time ago runs up behind them. Just needs some room. Mrs. Gardenia 100 to go. Long time ago back to the inside. Driving at her. Long time ago. And Mrs. Gardenia in the shadows. Long time ago beat Mrs. Gardenia. 2.5 Oregon's Day, then Keylade.
That's another winner for Adrian Bott and Gay Waterhouse, as you mentioned, that great record that they've had. Kieran McAvoy.
Great spring, isn't he?
Very good spring as well. And a beautifully bred horse, you were saying, Ray.
Yeah, Redoute's Choice, the sire, out of Oaks winner Once Were Wild. Raced by Singo, John Singleton, so he's got a potentially a very, very good broodmare with long time ago, one of the most valuable in training at the moment. But she's got a big future, I think, Jim. That was a good win yesterday.
Redoute's Choice still getting the job done.
Oh, he's a freak.
Unbelievable.
How about his son, though, Snitzel?
Yeah.
Breaking all sorts of records.
What did I see? Snitzel as well. Who's the Northern Meteor? Kadiza Devaka.
Yes.
The Northern Meteor.
And it was 1-1 on Friday night at Canterbury, trained by Chris Lees. Little black book, Jim, write this one down.
Yeah.
Serene Miss. She is a star.
Okay.
Three from three, also by Northern Meteor.
There you go. Well done. I'm just writing that down. Well done, Raymond. Hey, lots of people having their say, too, these innovations. Boys, Metal Woods in golf. This is coming in on Twitter.
Good
from
point.
Frank.
Mm.
Metal Wood in golf have been a revelation. 60-year-old guys hitting it the same distance as they did in their 30s. So Sophie has somehow chimed in on Twitter as well. He's up this morning.
No, don't say that. Good morning, Sophie.
What's with the cardigan, James? LOL. It's not a cardigan. That's the photo we put on. Is it a cardigan, Ray?
No, it's a...
How would you best describe it?
It's a long sleeve, like sweat top or something.
Athleisure?
Mm-hmm.
We'll go with that. Hey, boys, the wing... hang on a minute. Hamish, getting ahead of yourself. Hey, boys, the wing keel helped Australia win the America's Cup. Cheers, Matt.
Good one.
What about this one? Great talk topic. Jockeyless horse races would show what the horses wanted to race. Would obviously need experienced horses. That's from Scooter. Big night, Scooter.
I love this one, though, from Kev. Night surfing never took off. I can remember Daryl Eastlake standing knee-deep at the beach doing a pitch report from Kev. It's a good one.
I'll tell you what, though, Kev. He would have done it with some enthusiasm, wouldn't he? Oh, huge Queensland man.
Well done. This is also from Matt as well. Jimmy, hey boys, 50 over cricket and 2020 cricket. They've been very innovative.
Oh, sports. Huge. Been massive.
And
massive.
Night cricket.
Night cricket? There, well, that's Kerry Packer.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder, was it just Kerry who said, hey, that's what we did? That's what we want to do?
We had this discussion last week, didn't we?
Did we? Yeah. Was it on air, though?
I think so.
Right. Okay, we better go to the callers then. 1353 53 is the open line number. Bob's there. Hello, Bob.
Morning, guys. Before I have my say, I just wanted to say innovations, training, partnerships. Hasn't that had a great change on the racing industry?
Good point.
Hayes, Debony Hayes.
Team Hawks.
Team Hawks.
Gay Waterhouse.
Well, I've got it done for Gay Waterhouse.
Yeah, well, it's given her a new lease of life, hasn't it, Bob?
She said it last week.
Mm. Exactly. Now, on Laurie Ray, she's come through the Mark the Moffat training stables as an apprentice.
That's right.
Along with Jess Taylor and Rachel Hunt. He's done a great job training these young jockeys.
Good point, Bob.
And he took her to Caulfield to ride a horse. Most times the young apprentice gets the flick. He took her to Caulfield to ride the Clintock. And ran second, got nutted on the post.
That's right. That was
in a listed race.
That was Jerry Harvey's horse, wasn't it, by memory?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't then because Mark bought it back because they went to Singapore and they got to feed it to lions.
Oh.
And rather than have the thing put down and sold as lion food, he actually paid to fly it back to Australia and it came back and repaid him by running second in a listed race.
Feed it to that's a joke, obviously, Bob.
Anyway. Well, that's true.
Right.
That is a true story.
Okay.
That's one. Had a happy ending, though, Jim.
Yeah, one for all the conservationists out there. That'd be fantastic.
Had a happy ending.
Yeah,
good call, Bob.
That one had a happy ending. Fantastic.
Bob, stay listening. We'll have Laurie Ray on the line very shortly, Bob.
Good on you, Bob. We appreciate that. By the way, Mark de Moffat, is he just been announced he's working with Racing New South Wales Apprentice Jockey Team?
Correct.
Great stuff. I used to play touch footy against Mark de Moffat.
Very good sportsman.
With him,
good
with
touch footy player.
Great touch footy player, golfer.
Good sportsman, period.
Competitive.
Yeah.
You
wouldn't think it when you talk to him, but when you're out in the field, white line fever.
Yeah, fantastic bloke. Really good bloke. Mm. Great to see him doing well. 1353-53, open line number. We're going to take a break and we're going to speak to that Laurie Way.
Caribbean Blaster. He blew his rivals apart in his Victoria Cup win. A current track record holder. A winner of the Chariots of Fire. 4-year-old Breeders' Crown and SA Car. Trainer Andy Gatt says he was the perfect racehorse. Get the facts. Ask someone who has a Blaster. They have perfect gait and constitution. Perfect conformation and 100% toughness. Caribbean Blaster. Standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales. Visit yerribee.com.au.
It's a game changer. This is the Harvey Norman flagship store.
Phase one of our new look Auburn store is now open. Computers and electrical reimagined.
You think it's big? It's a football field.
Immerse yourself in a shopping experience unlike any other.
This is a global standard. The manufacturers have worked with Harvey Norman to create this unique experience.
The new computer and electrical flagship experience. Harvey Norman Auburn, 250 Parramatta Road.
You must come and have a look at what we've done.
Big Sports Breakfast is going to Mudgee for the Cup.
Join us there at the Butcher Shop Cafe, Friday, December 1.
Enjoy a fantastic coffee before we head trackside for the Robert Oatley Vineyard Mudgee Cup.
The Butcher Shop Cafe is open 7 days for breakfast and for lunch. Say hello to James and the team.
You'll love the relaxed atmosphere, the magnificent coffee,
the friendly country service.
Visiting the award-winning Butcher Shop Cafe in Church Street
is one of the must things to do when visiting the beautiful Mudgee region.
There are a couple in front of Moa, who's starting to close in strongly. Mighty Lucky, the inside goes well. Then Duke of Valentinois on Supply and Demand. Fabrizio trying to come back on Royal Tudor, but Duke of Valentinois letting down. God's in him up the fence, but Duke of Valentinois drawn clear on the cup from God's in him. Then Pajaro rattling home, but Duke of Valentinois got them beaten. Duke of Valentinois won the cup.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
That's another horse, Godolphin horse, heading towards Villiers, Jim. Duke of Valentinois winning the Hawkesbury Cup the other day.
There you go.
A very strong team heading towards Villiers. Great to see this lady have a Sydney Saturday winner yesterday with a horse who has got a lot of promise, Lord Kingsley, and her trainer, Laurie Ray, has been good enough to join us. Laurie, good morning. Firstly, congratulations, and what are the plans going forward with Lord Kingsley?
Hi, thanks. I'm still sort of looking at the calendar to work out what I'm going to do with him.
Mm.
probably just, I think I'll just keep racing through his grades, keep his confidence levels up.
Mm. Did the race play out in the favour of Lord Kingsley? Your lead choreographer just took the field on and made a real chase affair of it, but that seemed to suit the way that Lord Kingsley runs, Laurie.
Oh, definitely, yeah. One of my owners was worried there wasn't going to be enough speed in the race, but I was like, oh, sometimes when there's no speed on paper, they normally do run along. So it did work out well for Lord Kingsley because he likes to just settle at the back of the field, and he's just got this great finish, a great turn of foot. So obviously when the speed's on, he's always going to be right in the finish. Mm.
Laurie, he showed flashes of that potential last season. I remember a day he ran second in the Murrumbidgee Guineas. It was a super run, but is it fair to say he had his little issues last prep, but you seem to have ironed those out? You've harnessed his talents. He's 3 from 5 this prep and was just beaten in a Sydney Saturday meeting prior to yesterday's win.
Yeah, definitely. Look, he used to get a bit of a sore back last prep, but we've worked out how to fix that, and he hasn't got any soreness in him at all this preparation. And I think just mentally, he just mentally wasn't ready last preparation. He put in the odd bad run.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've worked out how to work him too now. So just, finding out the key to him, basically, and he's performing this prep.
And you do all the work. Is that right, Laurie?
All the riding?
Yeah. All the riding, yeah.
I do, yep.
Yeah, okay.
Definitely.
Well, that gives you a great insight then. The 1800, it was when he was just beaten previously. The 2000 metres, do you think that's a better fit for him?
Yeah, I do think so. He's, he just, even Tim got off him and yesterday and said he might even get 2400.
Okay.
It sure does.
Yeah, Laurie, you've been training for about 4 years now. Do you prefer the training side of it? Do you miss the riding side of it?
Oh, look, I did love riding. Loved it, but I'm not a natural lightweight and I couldn't do it. You just got to move on. And I love training too. I love spending time with the horses and it's probably, my passion.
Mm. And he said Timmy came back and talking about maybe getting to the 2400. He also came back without his whip.
that was
a little bit lucky because from what I understand, Lord Kingsley's a horse that needs a little persuasion.
He sure does, yeah. Probably the whip rules these days aren't in his favour, but the horse is just, he wants to win now. I think he's just mentally grown up, and luckily Tim got in there yesterday.
Well, he showed that determination to win yesterday in that tight finish. Laurie, what does a Sydney Saturday winner mean to someone like you? You only got a small team out there at Warwick Farm, but what would this win hopefully mean for you?
Oh, it's just, I think everyone dreams of that Saturday winner, and I've got about 15 horses on my books now, but there's 10 in work at the moment, and I've only had 2 horses capable of going to a Saturday race, and we've had a few photo finishes to finally get the monkey off the back. It's pretty big.
It's fantastic. Laurie, congratulations on that. It's a bit of a breakthrough there yesterday, and let's hope it's the first of many for you with Saturday winners in the city. Congratulations on that, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks, Laurie.
There is Laurie Ray, and she had a winner with
Lord Kingsley.
You want to keep your eye out for Lord Kingsley. It was a very good finish. Lots of people having their say around this innovations thing, Raymond.
Inspired choice.
Hi, guys. I'm not sure of the year, but the photo finish in horse racing must have solved a lot of disputes. That's Pete from Canberra. You got any insights into when?
I think just after World War II, because I remember one of the first Melbourne Cup photo finishes was that famous one of 1948, Rimfire and Dark Marn. And Jack Thompson, he's now passed away, but until his dying day, always maintained Dark Marn won that cup. And afterwards, the VRC looked at it and realigned the photo finish camera angle.
There you go. Mm. Just looking at it here, photo finish cameras were developed during the 1940s and 50s. As a means of regulating the racing industry and to reduce cheating, betting on racing became increasingly popular during the middle decades of the 20th century. There you go. Mm. So, that's a good one, Pete. Keep them coming in because we do have giveaways. Best SMS, best call will get a copy of Their Finest Hour by Andrew Marmont, who we're going to interview a little bit later on in the program as well. 1353 53 is the open line number. We'll take a break. After the break, we'll be back with Lloyd Williams.
There's plenty to like about the new LDB T60 diesel 4x4 dual cab ute. The 3-ton towing capacity, the safety with a 5-star AMCAP rating, and the warranty, 5 years or 130,000 kilometres. The LDB T60 from just $28,990 manual drive away for ABN holders. Perhaps you can please all of the people all of the time. Go to ldbautomotive.com.au.
The Richmond Riches Puppy Auction is on again Sunday, November 26 from 10 a.m. With more than 90 quality pups to be sold, the auction is a nursery for future stars. 30 Talks and Mr. Twister, both auction graduates, have won Group 1 events and over $300,000 prize money. All greyhounds are eligible for the 2019 $50,000 Richmond Riches Race Series. So why not form a syndicate and get to Richmond Greyhound Track on Sunday, November 26 to buy a future champion. Warm and welcoming, the Ori is one of Mudgee's most iconic hotels and a popular setting for all occasions. There's live music Friday and Saturday night, accommodation just upstairs or next door, schnitty nights Wednesday and Thursdays, and on Mudgee Cup Eve, the Mudgee Cup Calcutta and charity auction. Come and help the Ori support the Black Dog Institute. The Oriental Hotel, your friendly local hotel. Find us at 6 Lewis Street, Mudgee, or go to orientalhotel.com.au.
Looking at Lee, wanders off the rail, now with 3 lengths to make up and a 16th to go. But Always Dreaming is digging down, and Always Dreaming is holding on. Looking at Lee, can't catch Always Dreaming, who's the 143rd winner of the Kentucky Derby.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the VT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. And Jimmy, I think winning the Zipping Classic yesterday would have meant almost as much to Lloyd Williams as winning a Melbourne Cup, because Zipping was one of his all-time favourites and the race was named after him. And Lloyd's been good enough to join us this morning. Lloyd, good morning. Firstly,
Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Jimmy.
Congratulations.
First, you're all well.
Yeah, terrific. Congratulations with the Taj Mahal and Al Mandan. And we saw a glimpse of the Taj Mahal last start, but he put it together yesterday, Lloyd.
He rode him superbly at Flemington, but it's not the way to ride him. He box-seated him, and he should have driven him, Eddie would tell you today, he should have driven him out of the stalls in the
in the
Emirates, but let him roll along. But he was forced into, just sprinting the last 300 metres at the Emirates, and of course that doesn't suit him. But so yesterday he rode him as Aidan would normally like to have his horses ridden, with that style, of course. And he took off 5 from home and let him roll. So that sort of suits him. But he's quite a nice horse, actually.
And Al Mandan still getting the job done, too, the big fella.
Yeah, that's a bit flat he was yesterday. But
right.
He needs a spell. Off the Melbourne Cup, both those horses from the Melbourne Cup, Darren Weir's horse and ours, they were both a bit flat. It's never easy coming out of that Melbourne Cup. Zipping actually did it 3 times to win this race, but it's more of the exception to the rule than the actual rule, I think.
Gee, he was a great horse, Zipping. Lloyd, have you perhaps opened the door for a new sort of wave of younger European stayers rekindling a 3-year-old by Northern Hemisphere time wins the Melbourne Cup? Taj Mahal, a young stay yesterday, winning the Zipping Classic. Yeah. Is that the way of the future?
He's a 3-year-old as well. Well, I tried it with Bondi Beach, and Aidan tried it with Marla in the Fishing's year 2007, the Melbourne Cup. I think that the 3-year-olds have got a chance of coming out here. The Northern Hemisphere 3-year-olds have got a chance of coming out here in those major staying races. Because certainly they're better stayers than the horses that we've got out here. In fact, I'd say that in the English Ledger this year, Aidan won the race with Capri, Crystal Dancer ran second, and Stadivarius ran third, and Rekindling ran fourth. Probably should have run second, but it did run fourth. But those 4 place getters in the English St. Ledger at Doncaster, I would have thought would be very competitive in the Melbourne Cup.
You went 1-2 in the Melbourne Cup, Rekindling and Johannes Vermeer. I think 6 runners in total for you, Lloyd, in the Cup. Did you have a preference? Did you have a personal preference about who you wanted to win?
Oh, no, not really. Obviously, I would like El Amanda to go back to back if I wanted to push me to. But, outside of that, I didn't have a particular preference. I did think that El Amanda and the horses that ran first and second were the best chances I had in the race.
Mm.
And I like that horse, Johannes Vermeer. I think he's a nice type of horse. He's got a turn of foot and he's a proper stay, but he's an unusual English horse because Irish horse he is, but he likes hard tracks.
Yeah,
most of all the other ones I've got, they all want the cut in the ground.
That's true, yeah.
You know, I've got a very good stay in the Northern Hemisphere, Order of St. George, and, it'd be hopeless bringing him out here because the tracks are too hard for him out here.
Yeah,
and
right.
He's probably the world's best stay at the moment, isn't he, Lord, I'd say, Order of St. George?
Yeah, he's won that in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So he's a proper horse.
Mm. Lord, what will happen with the cup horses, Rekindling and Johannes Vermeer? Are one or both going to stay here?
They don't. JV stay, as I call him, it's easier to call him JV. He's staying here. He's at Macedon now. Rekindling's at Macedon. But I hope to send Rekindling back to Joseph at the end of January after we've had a break here, because I'd love him to run in the Gold Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Order St. George won the Gold Cup for me 2016. This year got beaten ahead. So Order St. George will run again the Gold Cup again at Ascot, and I'd love to have Rick Henley in the race.
Mm.
So that's the plan at the moment, but, the glorious uncertainties of the turf and race horses.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
But that's the current plan.
Lloyd, I read an article that suggested that you spent anywhere between $6 and $7 million on horses getting ready for this year's Melbourne Cup. Now, I don't know whether that's accurate or not. You would know better than I.
It's pretty well accurate. Yeah,
okay. Does it have a balance sheet for you? Do you care if it's unbalanced? It's just a matter of winning the cup at all costs?
Oh, well, no. I don't think anyone likes to tear up $100 bills, do they?
No.
I've been at this a long while. I'm not new to the game.
No.
Unfortunately, it's 50 or 60 years, so you're talking to an old bloke here. As Ray will tell you, that I've been trying to do these sorts of things that... I suppose the first group winner I had was 1968, so that's 50 years ago, isn't it?
Wow.
That's extraordinary.
I'm still here for the time being, and I'm still probably tearing up $100 bills.
What about the future, Lloyd, particularly for JV, as you call him, and also the Taj Mahal? Would we see either in Sydney potentially for the autumn?
Yeah, you might. You certainly might. I think that I want... see if I can get El Amanda back to running the BMW and Taj Mahal the same.
Right.
And I'd like to think that I could get JV up there for the Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So, as I said, the glorious uncertainty.
Mm.
At the moment, all those three horses have pulled up well here this morning. Time will tell, I guess, but that's the short-term plan.
Mm-hmm.
Significant day yesterday too, with Robert Hickmont's last day as head trainer for Macedon Lodge, Lloyd. What can you tell us about Liam Howley, who comes in and takes over that role?
Oh, he's been at our place for, I think, 5 or 6 years now.
Yeah.
He's had an experience overseas. He won that Dali Award and he was away for a couple of years in that flying start. So he's been throughout Europe. So he understands our European horses, which is pretty important.
Mm.
And he's a well-educated young man. And has done a good job because he's basically been training the horses, good part of the horses for the last 3 years up there.
Yeah.
So it's not new to him. So he knows the horses better than anyone.
Lloyd, it's interesting because people like Chris Waller and other leading trainers talk about systems and how they got the systems in place whereby they can, for instance, like Chris obviously spent a fair bit of time in Melbourne this spring, but the systems he's got in place allows his team to operate out of Rose Hill. Would Liam obviously be aware of your system? Does that help in that transfer across from Robert leaving to Liam taking over?
Oh, well, you're talking to the head trainer here.
Yeah.
Well,
you keep your finger on the pulse anyway.
There's a lot of controversy who trains the horses, isn't it? The blueprint is emanates right here. I'm chairman and chief executive, and I decide how the horses will work and how we'll feed them and all those sorts of people, and I have people up there to execute it.
Yeah,
right. Just based
That's
on
what happens.
Why is it, Lloyd, that we don't see your name in the race guide then?
Whereabouts?
Well, as trainer.
Oh, I don't want to be the trainer, do I?
He's happy to be the owner.
You obviously haven't been around for a while, Jimmy. That sort of argument was about 20 years ago.
Oh, I know, but it's always nice to rehash it every now and then, Lloyd.
Don't live in the past, my boy.
All right, fair enough. Well, look, congratulations, Taj Mahal, another horse to the stable that looks to be doing good things. Al Mandan's still there, thereabouts. Lloyd, really great to have a chat to you on to finish a spring. It's been an outstanding one for you again.
All right, thanks very much. Nice to talk to you both. Okay.
Thanks,
there you
Lloyd.
Go. Lloyd Williams there from Masterton Lodge. He's the CEO. He's the boss. He tells them how to do it. He tells them what to feed them. But he's not the trainer.
He loves being the owner. Yeah. He still loves it too, though. That Melbourne Cup, I think he described it as his glorious obsession, Jim. He just loves that race. And for a man who pours so much, I know people criticise the fact he gets so many runners in the race, but when you're willing to spend that much money, the return, you touched on it with him, the balance sheet, I don't think he'd be in the black.
Well, that's right. What was the first prize? $3.5 million. Second prize was around $1.5 or something, was it?
He doesn't always win the thing either.
No, that's right. That's right. That's a good year.
That's a good year.
1353 53 is the open line number. Anthony's on the line, wants to talk about innovations. G'day, Anthony.
Good morning, Ray and Jimmy.
Good morning, Anthony.
To the innovation, can I quickly just say, Ray, you think you might have missed the best bred horse, winner of the best bred horse all day, Villamont, All Too Hard Bollinger.
Yeah, no.
Next year's AJ Said Doubt, no, big winner.
That's it, yeah, no. Really good family, that, isn't it? And Bollinger's from the Bint Maskey family as well, so it's a great family. So
listen, the innovation, I think Channel 7 first used it, the Bathurst car races, and now the pencil camera. Now all sports use it on helmets and stunts and things like that.
Yeah, no. Remember back when it first came in, I think it was the early 80s, wasn't it?
In the car.
In the car. It was fantastic.
Channel 7, now it's skiers and jockeys and... Yeah. Stumps, and you're getting some great pictures. It was a great innovation.
Anyone can do it with a GoPro strapped to the helmet.
They can now. That's fantastic. You saw it in the Melbourne Cup when you saw, I can't remember who the jockey was, but he was following Corey Brown most of the race. So you got a perfect view of rekindling. It was a great ride and all the gaps he took. Now, really good point, Anthony.
Yeah. Well, have a good afternoon. Good morning, good afternoon, good day.
Good call. Thanks, Anthony.
That's it. You just came up with a good point. There you go.
Oh, he's on the list. Put him down the list.
No, he's there. Let's look. Put a little asterisk.
Absolutely.
Simon Anderson's Tri-Fin Thruster Surfboard changed surfing.
Oh, there you go. Not aware
apparently.
Of that one. I'm not aware of that one.
No, me neither. But there you go. No name on that one, but thank you very much. And this is an interesting one, too. In terms of impact to cost ratio, you can't go past the kicking tee for a piece of innovative technology. Jason.
I tell you what, not a bad point. You know, it's made the Sandboy redundant.
The Sandboy, the Sandboy no longer.
He's redundant.
But anyway, so that's the way. 1353 is the open line number.
Do you ever kick?
No, I never kicked. Hmm. No. And there's a reason for that, Ray. There's a reason for that.
You couldn't?
I wasn't very good. I wasn't very good at it.
Left footer, five steps back. Two to the right. Coming.
Oh, here we go. Now, next thing you'll be telling me you're the best kicker you've ever seen.
No, not at all.
You're a knicker and nudger as a batsman, and you think you're elegant. 1353 53, the open line number. Time now to say good morning for the first time to Tanya with the scratchings around New South Wales. Morning, Tan.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Newcastle, and we'll also look at Canberra in the ACT. Newcastle, the weather is overcast. The track a good 4. The rail is out 5 metres from the 1600 to the 400 and 2.5 the remainder, and there are 17 scratchings. The first is clear. Race 2, take out number 1, High Point, number 1. Race 3, number 9, The Brown One, number 9. Out of the 4th, number 10, Hillfigure, number 10. Race 5, number 4, Impavido. 9, Ivory Man. 13, Strome, and 14, American General, 4, 9, 13, and 14. Out of race 6, number 2, Bring a Gem, and 3, Mow the Great, 2 and 3. Race 7, number 9, Sensakova, 11, Jaffite, and 14, Hard Earned Thirst, 9, 11, and 14. And race 8, number 1, Mr. Tyndall, 2, Sleepwalker, 7, Organza, 10, Walshy, and 17, No Doubtful. 1, 2, 7, 10, and 17. Out of race 8 at Newcastle. And Canberra, the weather is fine. The track a soft 6. The rail out 10 metres the entire course. Penetrometer 4.75. And there are 18 scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Race 2, number 1, Corruptible. And 8, Halona, 1 and 8. Out of race 3, number 1, Gravitate. 4, Black Chevalier. And 7, Juvet, 1, 4 and 7. Out of the 4th, number 4, Goldmine, number 4. Race 5, number 13, Lady Marionette, 14, Everly Girl, 15, Paradiso Girl, and 16, Moonlight Duchess, 13, 14, 15, and 16. Race 6, take out 2, Lock the Doors, 3, Atlantic Sentinel, 9, Snip the Mo, and 11, Your Witness, 2, 3, 9, and 11. And race 7, number 2, All Star, 3, Little Off the Top, 8, Biblos Boy, and 16, Darbalara. 2, 3, 8, and 16 out of race 7 at Canberra.
Thanks, Tan. Couple of tips today. I'm a bit worried about the price of High Point in the first gym, race 1, number 5. So make him a standout. But into race 4, number 4, Oliphants. Then race 6, number 11, Medivina. That's all at Newcastle. And just one at Canberra today. I like the chances of race 6, number 8, Ma Rock.
Race 6, number 8, Ma Rock. All right, okay.
Mitch Newman, Christian Reith, nice barrier, run of the race stuff.
There we go. So now, did you tip Uptown Lad?
Very hard to beat for Kimmy War, Uptown Lad.
Yeah, okay.
Race 7, race, number 3.
Race
get
7.
A bit of value too, Uptown Lad.
There you go, $4.60. A break, and then we'll be back with more. It's the Big Sports Breakfast. It's the weekend edition.
I'm Kim Cartwright. Legendary Australian guitarist and AC/DC co-founder Malcolm Young has died aged 64. Known for the powerhouse riffs and rhythm guitar that propelled the group to superstardom, Young had been suffering from dementia for the past 3 years. He died peacefully overnight with his family by his bedside. Speaking to Dutch TV show Lola de Musica in 2000, Malcolm described AC/DC as what he always wanted to do.
A really good band and good writing and determined never to change what we do. That's what we always wanted to do. So you don't go do something you've always wanted to do, and 25 years later you say, it's time for a change.
Victorian opposition leader Matthew Guy is set to outline his plan to beat Labor following the ALP's shock by-election loss to the Greens. Law and order and education are expected to dominate day two of the state Liberal conference at Lardner as the party strategises on ways to capitalise on the government's by-election loss in Northcote. Federal Deputy Leader Julie Bishop addressed the conference yesterday with talks focused on energy, security, water, regional development and agriculture ahead of the 2018 state election. An argument after a birthday party has resulted in two men being shot in Melbourne. The pair, aged 21 and 19, were shot during an altercation in the car park of a licensed premises in Hampden Park early this morning. The men suffered wounds that are non-life-threatening. A suspicious fire has severely damaged a public housing property in East Nowra in New South Wales. No one was injured, but Fire and Rescue Superintendent Greg Rankin told Macquarie Radio it took firefighters some time to gain the upper hand over the blaze.
It took about 45 minutes to extinguish that fire, and it was confined to the roof area, which was severely damaged by fire, and the rear of that premises.
Today is International Men's Day. Launched in 1999 and observed in 80 countries around the world, it aims to focus on the health of males, young and old, with an emphasis this year on mental health issues. Australian coordinator Warwick Marsh urges us to take some time out to talk to the men in our lives today.
Suicide rate for men in Australia, 3 to 1. It's very sad that 3 men are killing themselves for every 1 woman. Obviously, it'd be better if we didn't have any suicide, and that's what we want to work towards, and that's one of the issues we're addressing. But how do we do that? Well, encourage someone, give someone a smile and say Happy International Men's Day.
The world's first human head transplant has allegedly been performed on a corpse in an 18-hour operation which successfully connected the spine, nerves and blood vessels of 2 people. The operation was carried out by a team led by Dr. Xiaoping Ren in China, who last year successfully grafted a head onto the body of a monkey. Italian professor Sergio Canavero, part of the team and director of the Turin Advanced Neuromodulation Group, says the first live human head transplant is now within reach.
The next step is a full head transplant on brain dead organ donors, and the first human head transplant is imminent.
Also in news, tens of thousands have taken to the streets of Zimbabwe's capital, Harare, demanding the resignation of President Mugabe. And the wife of a New South Wales sheep farmer who was found dead 3 months ago will face court today charged with murder. This is AIR News. Belgium's Thierry Neuville will take a 20-second lead into the final day of Coffs Harbour Rally Australia, but will proceed with caution after watching his rivals stumble. Neuville surged to the front, adding 1 second to his advantage over Yari Matilatvala in last night's street-based super special stage on the foreshore. But he also benefited from the retirement of Hyundai teammate Andreas Mikkelsen, who suffered a double puncture after hitting a bank. Third-placed Chris Meek was also forced to retire on an eventful day that featured a cancelled stage because of a damaged bridge, another car crashing into a creek, and two drivers being fined for speeding between stages. Ireland coach Joe Kernan says Fremantle star Nat Fyfe should have been sent off for a dangerous forearm during Australia's 53-50 international rules win in Perth. Kernan was highly critical of the quality of umpiring on display during the series. The veteran coach believed his star player Michael Murphy had been unfairly targeted by Australia without receiving any protection from the umpires, and he said Fyfe's forearm to the chest and neck of Ireland's Aidan O'Shea should have been black carded last night. To rugby, the All Blacks have overcome a spirited Scottish resistance and two yellow cards to win their test match in Edinburgh 22-17. And Socceroos captain Mile Jedinak capped a spectacular week by claiming bragging rights over national teammate Massimo Luongo when Aston Villa beat QPR 2-1 in England's second tier. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Shiraz Grenache. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Don't spend this summer tossing and turning all night. Get a Panasonic air conditioner to keep you cool. Think summer, think cool. Think Panasonic air conditioning. Visit panasonic.com.au. In Bondi Junction, we've got lights flashing on Bondi Road at Waverley Street. In Punchbowl, there's emergency works on Canterbury Road at Lion Avenue. It's affecting traffic in both directions as they replaced a pole there. And the M4 closed southbound past Olympic Park until 1 this afternoon. Great news, Ingleburn. Your brand new Coles is now open at Ingleburn Village. So head down and check out the new Coles Ingleburn today and meet the friendly team ready to serve you. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
It's Brett Ogle here. Look, Drummond Golf has asked me to do a world first on radio, a 15-hour commercial where I read out their entire stock list to prove that only Drummond Golf has a range that includes all the famous brands in bags, clubs, buggies, balls, shoes, clothing and accessories. But like you, I'd rather be out playing golf. So if anyone from Drummond Golf asks, can you tell them you heard the 15-hour ad and it was fantastic? Thanks.
Dynamic Syndications and Gay Waterhouse offer affordable racehorse ownership. Here's Gay.
Dynamic Syndications are my primary syndicators and I love training for their owners. They buy top quality, sound, athletic and beautiful pedigreed horses. I will be training for them at my Randwick and Flemington stables.
We invite you to join our Dynamic Gay Waterhouse team. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3368-08.
New Zealand Bloodstock's Ready to Run sale is the leading sale of its kind in Australasia, the source of a massive 110 stakes wins and 12 individual Group 1 winners of 19 Group 1 races in the past 5 seasons alone. With over 400 well-trained thoroughbreds on offer, see you on the 22nd and 23rd of November at Karaka. New Zealand Bloodstock, where winning begins.
Roy Orbison, the stunning new album with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, A Love So Beautiful, features many of Roy's biggest and most memorable hits. A Love So Beautiful, Roy Orbison with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, out now.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Partly cloudy with a good chance of a shower or two at some stage during the day. But
we're playing cricket today.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Whereabouts?
Waverley Oval.
A lot of most of the shower's been on the coastal fringe, haven't they?
Well, that's Waverley Oval.
Mm. Which might be bad.
We're going to get you for a game. You know, there's that great debate. Are you a knicker and nudger or are you a elegant opener?
Gee. You're a hard man.
You're more Renshaw than Warner, aren't you?
Yeah. You tip more towards a Renshaw side. Valued my wicket, James.
Right.
How about you?
As you
dashing do. Middle order player?
Nah. Bit of a hit and miss.
Hit and miss, eh?
Yeah.
Still bowled medium fast.
Yeah. Well, now, no.
The pause then, yeah.
There was speculation that I was playing in a third grade game, and there was speculation that when I came back for a third spell at one point, and they thought I might run past it. That's what came out. Bounced about four times before it got to the keeper.
Oh, at least you could bowl. That's like the old nude balls, isn't it? When you're bowling spin, there's nothing on them. Anyway, look, back to the weather. 0 to 1 millimetre of rain tops today, 40% chance of rain. City heading for a top temperature of 24 degrees. Jim, what's the current temperature at Tempe and way out northwest at Tibberborough?
Why do you want to go to Tibberborough?
I saw it in the news the night and said, Tim, we haven't been to Tibberborough. We should do that on Sunday.
So. There you go. So Tempe currently 21 degrees. We'll get to 23 degrees. And Tibberborough, as you mentioned, way out west
corner.
And a little bit north, mostly sunny, 34 degrees.
It's somewhat from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat a length clear from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat hanging on. He wins the Doncaster, a half length to Happy Clapper.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Right, Ray, stop laughing at that. See it again. Big hour coming
run
up.
Passable.
The unfortunate thing about it is it was nearly true. Very shortly, Adrian Bolt, we're going to have a chat with Jim Tucker. Jim's over there at Twickenham for the Wallabies v England game. If you haven't heard, the Wallabies 6, England 30. Sounds bad, not that bad.
Can we use we was robbed? Not quite.
Oh, nearly.
We was stiff.
We was a little unlucky in different stages. Andrew, although made their own luck too, dropped the ball with the line open.
Good point.
Andrew Marmont, he's written a book, Their Finest Hour, about the Rugby League World Cup. 10 particular games for teams there. He works for NRL.com. We're going to have a chat with him. We've got books to give away as well. Event Cinemas quiz score update.
24-20.
Michael Carriano from the Rugby League World Cup as well. So generally Daily Telegraph's number one rugby league writer. Basically, we've got Ben Horn after that too and Robbie Slater. Basically, if you work for News Limited, you're a chance of getting on the program today.
They're all good people.
I'm not saying they're not. That's all I'm saying. 1353 is the open line number.
Look, well, this stable's had a fantastic trot right through the spring carnival, and it continued again yesterday, Jimmy. Two winners at Rosehill, including the very impressive Cabeza de Vaca and the impressive Sedanza, and a stakes winner just to cap off the spring at Sandown with Long Time Ago in the Summon Stakes. Adrian Bott, good morning, and it's been a spring carnival to remember, Adrian.
Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Jimmy. It's certainly been a very memorable one on many different fronts, that's for sure.
And I think one of the things we made mention of, well, I think even Gay made mention of it, we spoke to her last week, was it wasn't like you were taking a bunch of superstars down to Melbourne. It was not odds and sods, but unproven at that level and certainly unknown.
Yeah, I think that's sort of been the exciting part of the challenge and probably certainly the most rewarding aspect to it as we identified these prospects sort of nice and early in their preparations and their careers, and we mapped out a path for them where we thought some suitable targets would be, and we worked towards that. And as you said, it wasn't the obvious horses at first, but we saw the potential there and the improvement. We were able to take them through their grades and go through the right races, and importantly, they were able to peak on the right day and when they needed to win the big races for them.
Yeah, no, terrific carnival. Even the winner yesterday, Adrian, I know she's only just resumed Long Time Ago, but I mentioned earlier, you probably won't find a better bred mare, about a Redoute's Choice out of an Oaks winner, and she was terrific coming from basically last on the fence from the turn, running down the leaders.
Yeah, she was a phenomenal performance. The only slight concern is, sort of going into that sort of race, 1,500 metres first up in that sort of quality. So she was nice and forward for the run, and when she got back to that position that she did, I was a little bit worried. I was a nervous wreck when they're running in the back of the field and needing a bit of luck in running there, sort of held up on the fence. But, Kieran was very patient and was able to get on the back of the right horses and save some ground and luckily sort of never got held up at any real point. And really impressed with the way she stretched out and found the line. She really made up some good ground late and was very, very impressive. It just... Yeah, really happy for Singer. She's proven to be a very good good mayor this long time ago, and obviously from a fantastic family, and he's got some great bloodlines on his property, and some great fillies come through the yard that we're always trying to chase that important black type. So, yeah, really, really excited to be able to deliver on that, and hopefully it's just the start of what we'll see a lot more from her now.
All right, that's the start. What's next?
There's a bell of the turf up here, potentially looking at whether we can get her up through those wild card entries into the Magic Millions, whether that's another option for her being a homebred. So there's a few things that we just want to sit down with over the weekend now and work out what's the best path for her now forward. Mm.
And Adrian, your two winners yesterday, really impressive. Kabiza Devaka, I mentioned to Jim, he's on a 5-race winning streak, but it stretches over 12 months. He had a long gap. He won his last three before he was turned out last summer. He's come back late in the spring. He's won two races over. Trip's probably short of his best. A lot of upside to this horse, Adrian.
Yeah, there really is. He's a horse that's sort of always had niggling little issues and problems along the way, which is why he's sort of quite lightly raced. He came, he wasn't wanted as a yearling. Greg Perry had to retain him, take him home. He gave him plenty of time as a young horse, and he only came to our stable sort of very late, probably as a 3-year-old, and then got to the track slowly. But he's now as a fully mature horse, we're just really sort of being able to take advantage of that. Just take him through his grades nicely, and he just keeps improving. He's a fantastic horse. Love having these consistent, honest geldings, tough geldings around the stable.
Well, if you look at what happened yesterday, Adrian, wide gate, bang, push to the lead. Mm. Then at the 600-metre, Rachel just slipped the field, and then they couldn't make up the distance. And, she's riding superbly, but she said the horse makes things easy for her.
Yeah, he's just he certainly knows the drill. He's just good, tough, honest, high cruising speed, can sort of withstand that sort of pressure and can sort of make those early moves on those horses in those races and put the pressure to the rest of the field early. He'll give you the confidence that he's fitting well and is able to sustain that, and he certainly showed that yesterday. So that's as you said, typical sort of horse from the stable that patterns that we like being able to see, and Rachel was able to execute that and take full advantage of it.
Righto, well, patterns you like to see, we didn't see with your other winner, Sedanza, and that's Rachel King on board as well, and that was the completely different way do we see Waterhouse Bot horses being trained to win. What was the situation with that?
Yeah, look, certainly like to think we're not too one-dimensional. We can be a bit diverse at times.
Sure.
She's just got such a brilliant turn of foot, and all of her best races have been early on. She just had a bad habit of sort of missing the start. She just didn't have the early speed. And we found it. We're unsuccessful trying to get her out of that comfort zone, trying to get her up on pace and trying to get her to lead. So we've just had her wherever she's comfortable and relaxed in the run. And she's able to find her feet, just conserve her energy. And we've seen what she can do on a number of occasions now when she's allowed to do that. So we didn't want to take her away from that sort of pattern. No real advantage there to have her up on pace. Certainly not all horses can be ridden that way, but we find it a huge advantage when they can. But as I said, we're happy to be a bit versatile at times and not too one-dimensional. But she's certainly, as she steps up in trip, hopefully she can sit a little bit more forward, and as she learns that she just doesn't quite have that tactical speed early.
But she can find the line. Look, it's been a terrific spring carnival for you, Adrian, but I think potentially the best is to come. I hope I don't embarrass you here, but I haven't told Jimmy about this, but next Sunday, Jim, Adrian Tyson on.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, looking forward to it. It's a fitting way to, I think, sort of just finish and cap off a memorable carnival. Timing's perfect, and really looking forward to it. It's an exciting chapter in my life as well.
It's a good excuse to be a scratching from Rose Hill next weekend, isn't it, Adrian?
Yeah, good excuse to get a couple of weeks holiday.
Ah, well, Adrian, you can't be happy all your life.
Oh, you can't say that. Oh, no, don't listen to it, Adrian.
That out. Look at you, living the dream in training with Gay Waterhouse. And then you go and do something ridiculous like getting married.
You can't say things like that. Hey, look, best of luck next weekend, Adrian, and really appreciate you coming on the show. Great spring carnival, and all the very best wishes to you and your lovely bride next Sunday as well.
Really appreciate it. Thanks very much, guys.
Congratulations to Adrian. Good luck. It'll be a fantastic day.
No, thanks, Jimmy.
Adrian Bott there, trains with Gay Waterhouse, gets married next week.
Forgotten the poor bloke now.
Well, what am I going to do? Lie to him, Ray?
Well, you're happily married. You
said who?
Well, lovely. Tracy's always happy and bubbly.
See, that's the problem. I'm happily married. Ask Tracy.
She's happy and bubbly. And
she's hanging in there. Poor thing. Anyway.
One understand.
Initiative. What about this? Initiative and innovation.
Mm.
Jimmy claiming two wins in the quiz while Ray was in England. Steve from St Clair.
Steve straight to the top.
Settled down.
Very good.
What about this too? Great to hit you to hit Lloyd with some fair dinkum questions, Jimmy. Everyone else in racing industry seemed to be scared of him, as if they were the North Koreans talking to King Jong-un. That's from the critic. If Lloyd is training them, then he should be named trainer. If they get banned for a drug offence, then Hickmott cops the ban and Williams keeps on training. It's wrong, and having lots of money should not make the rules any different. Dave from Cronulla.
A lot of people have spoken that song with Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. But he went there himself, didn't he? He talked about, I do this and I do that and I do that. Well, why is your name not in the book? He said, where? It's in the trainer's page. Lloyd?
His name's in the book.
Yeah, exactly. 1353-53, the open line number. Let's get to, we got Matt on the line. G'day, Matt.
Hey, boys, how are you?
Yeah, good morning,
well.
Matt.
I've got two. Not one, two. The first one would be drug testing in sport.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
It's obviously made it better. Can't make it any worse.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And either Hawkeye in tennis or the Sneeko in cricket.
Yeah,
same kind
of thing. That sort of technology. You like it, Jim? Yeah, two good ones for Matt.
And I won't ring up for the quiz because I don't want Jimmy to win again.
Matt, you can ring up.
Did you win for me, Matt?
I've won twice for you, mate.
He's your man.
1353-53, Matt. You stay on the line, mate.
He's your lucky charm.
Please.
Lucky charm.
Please. All right, good on you, mate. That's a good call. I'm going to double asterisks next to Matt. Double asterisks.
Thanks, boys.
Good on you, Matt. Have a great day. 1353-53. Eddie's on the line too. He wants to talk innovation. G'day, Eddie.
Good morning, Ray. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Eddie.
Yeah, Australia 2, the wing quill for Bertram and Bondi.
Yeah, no.
In 83.
It was pretty hard to beat, wasn't it? Wasn't it great theatre, how they kept it covered up right through until they won it 4-3 and then the big unveiling.
It was like he was
Ellen
Moses.
Bond. Yeah. Take off raise it from the water. No, good one, Eddie.
They got the cup off from 1851, so it's been a long while. Yeah, so
it was 132 years or something, wasn't it?
132 years.
Yeah, so good one, Eddie. Good one. I like that one.
That's a great one, Ed.
Yeah, right, good on next there, Jim. Asterisk next to Eddie.
Oh, I won't get the double asterisk like Matt got, but he'll certainly get an asterisk. Good on you. We do appreciate that.
Is this contest over, isn't it? Matt's just won.
It's going to be hard to beat from there, isn't it? Here's another one that's come in that's quite interesting. Hi, boys. Innovation in sport. Has there been electronic scoreboard? Remember when the old scoreboard, especially in cricket, changing the scores every ball and over? I'm sure it was very hot being in there. Would have been a nightmare. Regards from Rob.
Yeah, the old scoreboards. Adelaide Oval's retained the old scoreboard, hasn't
it? Yeah, it has.
Mm.
It's fantastic.
Looks great.
Yeah, it's a great feature. Seriously, if you're worried about being hot in the scoreboard, get someone else to do it, Rob.
Remember that great image of Greg Porteous got a Robbie Farah sitting on the old scoreboard at Leichhardt Oval?
I was working on Fox League on the Sunday show at the time. It was the strangest thing I've ever seen after a game. It was incredibly strange. Mm. There you go. 1353-53, the open line number. And it is time now. We're going to a break. And then after the break, we'll come back with more.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
New Zealand Bloodstock's Ready to Run sale is the leading sale of its kind in Australasia. The source of a massive 110 stakes wins and 12 individual Group 1 winners of 19 Group 1 races in the past 5 seasons alone. With over 400 well-trained thoroughbreds on offer, see you on the 22nd and 23rd of November at Karaka. New Zealand Bloodstock, where winning begins.
The Amarok Model Year 17 clearance is now on, which means you can own the toughest 4x4 for under 40k. That's right, the toughest 4x4...
Let's try that again. Amarok Core, 4x4 for under 40k. You know what? It might be hard to say, but now it's easy to own. Get the Amarok Core 4x4 with App Connect and Rearview Camera as standard from only $39,990 drive away. But get in quick. Limited stock available. Conditions at Volkswagen.com.au.
The Tab app is proudly made by punters. Punters like Steve, yeah, are squeezed in more live racing than any other app and added race replays so you can brush up on a runner's past performances. Funny story that, I built it using hexadecimal code and thank you, Steve. You can check out his handiwork by downloading the Tab app today. Tab, we love a bet.
Live Race Vision covers all televised Australian racing. Racing Vision available to Tab account customers only. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Well, let's head over to Twickenham now. The scoreline, Raymond, doesn't read so well.
No.
30-6, but there was a huge amount of controversy out of this game. Some late tries from England, and it certainly made it a lopsided scoreline. It wasn't the way that the game actually played out. Our man on the ground over there is the number one rugby union writer.
Unequivocal.
For the Daily Telegraph here in Sydney, Jim Tucker, and he's been good enough to join us to give us an understanding of how this 80 minutes played out. G'day, Jim.
G'day, Jimmy. You're brave.
Well, first of all, the scoreline not flattering from the Wallabies' point of view, but let's dig a little deeper. Huge amount of controversy, and we'll get to Michael Checker after the game, but two yellow cards in the first half, and yet still Australia was so close, Jim.
Yeah, that was an amazing show of courage just in that yellow card period. Down to 13 men at one point, and in that period of time, it just went 3-3. So the Wallabies really dug deep and were coming on strong around that hour mark, and that's a big, big moment, 13-6 to England, 69th minute. And there was a no-try decision, one of three in the game. So it was really a dramatic match based on calls of the referee and the TMO. And in this case, Marika Korobetti, who had an absolute blinder for the Wallabies, the former Melbourne Storm winger, he got over the line, was turtled onto his back, looked to have got it down, but was held up in a tackle by Chris Robshaw, who was offside from the preceding ruck. He should have been whistled as offside, so he could have got the try. But in the end, it was whistled against Australia as an obstruction for Stephen Moore, who got in the way.
Mm. Yeah, good morning, Jim. Thanks for joining us. At that stage of the game, it was 13-6, about 10 minutes out. Australia still right in the contest. But as we've read, obviously Michael Checker after the game, extremely upset. I think he even voiced his disapproval in the half-time break about the refereeing. What was your opinion of the Kiwi ref, Ben O'Keefe?
Well, Eddie Jones made the point that we've got the best ref in the world on the day. We've got a TMO, three played 10 times. Sorry, it's not unlucky. So Eddie saw one side of it. Michael Checker clearly thought he got the rubber of the green the other way, and there were three disputed try calls in the game. All went against Australia. So you can see his frustration. His issue will be that he uttered the word cheat from the grandstand coach's box. They have an optional coach cam in there, and it went to Checker, and he's been caught. But plus an expletive or two, and it's probably not going to go well for him. He was exasperated, tried to keep a lid on it after the game because he's very big on this no excuses culture, but he could see that he was just rubbable that a couple of try calls went against his men.
Mm. We've had reports back here, Jim, in the press conference, an English journalist actually asked Michael Checker about calling the referee a cheat, and he walked out of the press conference. Is that correct, Jim?
No, it was at a different period. A journalist did approach him for a TV interview, and that was a separate little area. And Checker was rubbable and thought he'd been, in fact, ambushed with that question. He thought, is this what it's got down to? What's seen on the TV? He basically said, look, have you never sworn yourself? Maybe I was showing a bit of emotion, but it's not about that. It was about the game. So he was very volatile and reactionary at that moment. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like he's an emotional guy, and when the cameras go straight on him, sometimes it's very combustible.
Eddie Jones wouldn't mind giving a bit of stick to a former teammate either, too. I'm sure he'd appreciate that, Ed. In saying all of that, Jim, were there still opportunities for the Wallabies from what I'm seeing here and reading? It was Tevita Kurundrani dropped the ball with line open after some good lead-up work from Semi Kuravi. Is that the case? They missed a few opportunities?
Oh, definitely. With that situation, Australia were hard on defence. Kuravi made a brilliant 50-metre run, beat three tackles, and a little one-handed offload to Kurundrani in very wet conditions, so it wasn't an easy one to catch. But those guys have been friends since they went to church together in Brisbane as young boys. So
wow.
You reckon in the backyard they would have caught it, but this is a test match, and he put it down. England, to their absolute credit, didn't just make it a stop at that point. They went on the counter-attack, put a kick to the sideline. Now, that's another big incident in the game. There, on the replay, you could imagine the ball had touched the sideline and the try should have been called back. Mm. Instead, the CMO gave the benefit of the doubt to England, tried Elliot Daly, and the kick ahead from that from England really made a huge difference in the outcome of the match. Mm.
Jim, if we could ask for the Jim Tucker report card on the Wallabies today. As I said, 13-6 with 10 minutes to go. They were still in the contest. How would you rate the Wallabies' performance?
Under difficult situation, I would give them no more than a 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
Bernard Foley switches, forward passes. There were chances which they didn't take. Forget the two tries right on full-time that England scored. This was a really tight, grinding test match. Wallabies scrum very good. They had some very good players. Marika Korobetti had his best game for the Wallabies. He was really good in a test match in Twickenham for the first time. 81,000 people. He really stepped up. Scott Theo, the prop, did well. Kuravi did well. So there were some good moments. But Eddie Jones' boys, they really finished way over the top in that last 10 minutes.
Yeah. Scotland next week, the continuation of the tour, and we expect an improved performance from the Wallabies. Great for you to give up your time, Jim. We really appreciate it. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Anytime, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jim.
There he is, Jim Tucker. He is the number one rugby union writer for the Daily Telegraph here in Sydney. England 30, Australia 6.
It will be replayed time and time again. You may be aware of it, but there was one reaction to the yellow card in which it appeared you swore and were accusing someone of being a cheat. Is it he at the moment? Do you apologise?
No, I never said. What are you talking about?
It's best to ask you, Michael.
Is that really what we're going to... No, is that really what we're coming... Is that what it's coming down to?
It's going to be replayed on TV. It's best that you...
Replay whatever they like. If that's what it's come down to, that's it, right?
That is Michael Checker speaking to an on-the-field reporter straight after the game, and she was asking him about the incident that Jim Tucker told us about during the course of the interview, and that is that he was seen to be declaring that the referee was a cheat, and maybe a few other expletives added in there.
Before.
So that is the response from Michael Checker. I can imagine and understand after the heat of battle and the response like that. But I think that's something that we're going to read a little bit more of out of that test match. 30 points to 6, just reiterating, 30 points to 6, England have beaten Australia in that game. Now, innovations in sport continued. Just before we go to a break, we're going to speak to Andrew Marmont very shortly. This comes in from Alice. Greatest innovations in sport, three-point line in basketball.
That's right. They didn't have the three-point line way back when, did they?
Three-point line was first tested at collegiate level in 1945 NCAA game. Then the ABA brought it in, who were the big competitors to the NBA. ABA brought it in 1961. And the Eastern Professional Basketball League brought it in 1963-64. It wasn't until 1979 that the NBA brought it in.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't it? You think it's been a part of basketball forever. 1353-53, the Opaline number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
Caribbean Blaster. He blew his rivals apart in his Victoria Cup win. A current track record holder. A winner of the Chariots of Fire. 4-year-old Breeders' Crown and SA Car. Trainer Andy Gatt says he was the perfect racehorse. Get the facts. Ask someone who has a Blaster. They have perfect gait and constitution. Perfect conformation and 100% toughness. Caribbean Blaster. Standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales. Visit yerribee.com.au.
It's a game changer. This is the Harvey Norman flagship store.
Phase one of our new look Auburn store is now open. Computers and electrical reimagined.
You think it's big? It's a football field.
Immerse yourself in a shopping experience unlike any other.
This is a global standard. The manufacturers have worked with Harvey Norman to create this unique experience.
The new computer and electrical flagship experience. Harvey Norman Auburn, 250 Parramatta Road.
You must come and have a look at what we've done.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Really interested to be talking to the author of Their Finest Hour, a history of the Rugby League World Cup in 10 matches. I think there might be editions of Finest Hours after the games over the course of the weekend, especially, well, Tonga and Fiji. You can probably throw Lebanon in there as well. Outstanding in a loss in the quarterfinal. But Andrew Marmont from NRL.com is the author, and he's been good enough to join us online and, of course, give us the opportunity to give away a couple of books at the end of the program as well. G'day, Andrew.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Thanks for joining us. We do appreciate it. Mate, what compelled you to write the book? And certainly in the fashion, you know, a lot of people would think, oh, well, let's write a history of the World Cup. But you've broken it down into 10 matches that, you know, underline and underscore how important this cup is to different nations.
Yeah, well, I think you've sort of said it there, Jimmy. I mean, first of all, I wrote it because I love international rugby league. And I felt like there weren't really any books out there that sort of captured the spirit and I guess that rich history of rugby league internationally that would be accessible for someone to read. Like, there were some great history books out there, but for something that was a bit more sort of you can pick it up and read it like a novel, that was the aim. And I guess the initial idea was to do a history of the international rugby league as a whole, but when I took it to who ended up being my publisher, HarperCollins and ABC Books, they said, oh, look, what about doing it in 10 matches? Because there was a book on the English Premier League, I think the history of 21 years of the Premier League, and they did it within that same format. So
right.
we looked at it, and it made it a bit more sort of, I guess, commercial and really interesting. So basically picked 10 matches that were sort of controversial or took the game forward or were just sort of simply a great game.
Yeah, Andrew, good morning. Thanks for joining us. A great read. I love reading this book. Any sports lover, let alone rugby league fan, would enjoy it. I guess one of the hardest tasks, Andrew, was picking the 10 best games, but there's one that really fascinated me was the 1970 World Cup, which actually finished in a draw. Australia won 12-7. Ron Coote got the trophy. They actually changed the trophy from a World Cup to what they call the Egg Cup trophy. Horrible-looking thing, Andrew. But that match so mired in controversy, the last 10 minutes became, well, can I use the word thuggery? That's basically what it was.
Yeah, and that in itself, I think as well, Ray. These sort of moments in time where you look back and go, well, you wouldn't stand for this year. I mean, you can't even throw a punch in this day and age. Whereas back then, it seemed to be that way. But I think it was also just the way that Test matches were so different because it was really, literally, I think that I called that chapter "Win the Fight to Win the Game," and a lot of it was simply dominating in whatever means that you could. And and there was a story in there about John Coutts, the Australian centre, who, because of his religious background, couldn't have any violence dished out. He couldn't actually throw any punches. So he had to stand there watching as all this carnage sort of took place beside him. And funnily enough, all the players sort of, because of that belief, they actually, they kind of stood away from him. So it was just a sort of interesting way of it.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some great characters, Cliff Watson, the British prop, and there's some stories in there how they got one back from all the Australians aside, and let's take it out of him. So it's just, it was a very different time, I think, and it just highlighted what Test match rugby league was all about, certainly in the 70s.
I think a young Bob O'Reilly was in the front row that day, wasn't he? Is that right?
Yeah.
The other one, that the game that sticks very firmly, firmly in my memory too, is the 1988 World Cup final. It came on the back of the Bulldogs winning the premiership. They got a number of players in there. Paul Dunn was in that side. Terry Lamb and Dave Gillespie were on the bench. Andrew Farrer in the side. But I think the big thing to come out of this game was Wally Lewis broke his arm.
That's right.
And played on for such... Like, it was a bad break. You could see it was a bad break. Played on for such a long period of time as well. It became a famous moment, Andrew.
That's right. And I remember he was sort of recalling that as well. And he knew straight away that he broke it. And I think at that stage, it was about, I think, an 11-0 lead. And he thought, okay, I just got to stay on as long as I could and get the guys over the line. And so he's not at 20 minutes. He was there with a broken arm, and finally, Terry Lamb came on at halftime, and that was it. And he was obviously such a fantastic replacement because in the Informed Bulldogs team. So it was fascinating. I mean, to have that kind of push out the pain barrier. That's something that we all know that Wally Lewis, he's obviously a game changer in his own right. But to do it in the biggest moment of his international career at that stage, was fantastic, and that's why he was such a great leader. He got the job done.
It's interesting because in that chapter, Jim Andrews written about how Wally Lewis had been thinking about this World Cup final in 88 for 3 years. Isn't that right, Andrew? Because he blamed himself a little bit for the 85 tour of New Zealand when there was effectively a split between the Queenslanders and the Australians, New South Walesmen on that Australian tour under Terry Fernley, and obviously the Wally Lewis didn't get on with Terry Fernley either as coach, and so he was holding that memory of that poor tour in 85 for 3 years. That's why he didn't want to go off, Andrew.
That's right, Ray, and that's why I think it was another real reason why it was so fascinating, because behind the scenes, if you weren't sort of aware of all those, I guess, that sort of politics that were happening, we all know Australians being so dominant, but really that 88 one was probably the one where they had to really overcome those sort of factions, because as you say, Ray, all those things that were going on, divisions, and then to unite the team, a lot of credit has to come down with the coach, but also Wally to galvanise that side. And that's how much it meant to them to play for Australia. And I remember speaking to Wayne Pearce. It was sort of, he'd been around a little bit back for then, a few years, but he just said that he couldn't believe how everyone seemed to go to Eden Park that day. It was the only sort of big ticket item in town. And it felt like the whole of New Zealand was watching that one game, and it was so great for the game over there. But obviously, Australia got away quickly.
No doubt you're enjoying this edition of the Rugby League World Cup. Some incredible games, some incredible performances. Can you add a couple of chapters based on the games we saw last night?
Well, someone sent me a tweet last night and said, time to add a new chapter. And I was thinking, well, geez, you could write a whole book on this one. I mean, sensational. I was watching Fiji, and I just thought that they were going to win. I just felt like they had enough in the tank. They were doing what was needed. New Zealand were getting rattled, and they were just that one step ahead. And then obviously Tonga last week, but Lebanon, a magnificent performance to consider their team. And again, Brad Fittler, he's done some fantastic work with them. So, I think there could be some more surprises to come. But it's been sensational. It's been great. It's been a privilege to actually be around and watch it on our home soil.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're not done yet either, Andrew. That's the good thing about it. Their Finest Hour is the name of the book, history of the Rugby League World Cup in 10 matches, written by Andrew Marmont. Andrew, thanks to you giving away a couple of copies to listeners this morning. If you can't get a copy, which obviously everyone can't, then if you're a lover of international rugby league, make sure you get out to all good bookstores. I'd imagine is the best place to find it. Andrew, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Andrew.
There is Andrew Marmont, NRL.com correspondent and author of Their Finest Hour. Great book. Great read as well. 1353 53, the open line number. Just before we get to that, hiya, Innovations in Sport. Denker Rub. Keeps the over 50s going. Wazza from Borkham Hills. Good on you, Wazza.
I like it.
Fantastic. A break and then back with more.
Sports lovers, this is Andrew Hugo Voss, and I call things as I see them. There is nothing worse than attending a wedding on grand final day. The pain, the awkward conversation, trying to sound interested in the groom's former work colleague's wife, who has her own blog. God help us. Put an end to this unbearable anguish with a 2018 Sports Year Diary. Never, ever submit a near-fatal RSVP again. Order the Sports Year Diary online at sportsyear.com.au. Sports Year, plan it right.
Warrawing Needy retired the fastest horse on the planet. A brilliant horse with blistering speed has left the gate in 25 twos, a time rarely heard of. Visit yerribee.com.au.
At 180 kilowatts on overboost, the Amarok V6 is the most powerful unit in its class. By a long way. And with the Amarok Model Year 17 clearance now on, all that V6 power can be yours for a lot less than you think. Get the Amarok V6 Sportline Turbo Diesel Auto from only $53,990 drive away. But hurry, stocks are strictly limited, so get down to your Volkswagen dealer today. Conditions at Volkswagen.com.au.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. We've gone from previous World Cups to the current World Cup. Well, we're going to speak with Michael Carayannis, the number one rugby league writer.
Just insert number one.
From the Daily Telegraph. Before we do that, if you'd like to be a part of the quiz, score update.
24-20.
You need to call now on 1353 53. Call now on 1353 53 if you would like to be part of the quiz. You're unbelievable how competitive it's getting now. We won't look at the questions until the names come up and we see who we might get. Matt from Wagga, call now. Call now. 1353 53. Michael Carayannis is covering this year's Rugby League World Cup. And Michael, we just spoke to Andrew Marmont, who wrote the book, Their Finest Hour, but what a tournament to be involved in. Mm. Absolutely outstanding games of rugby league yesterday, and a quality performance from Australia on Friday night. Good morning, mate.
Morning, yeah. Andrew's going to have to add a few more touches up yesterday.
Definitely, definitely. Let's go to the Aussies Friday night. I thought clearly their best performance. I know Samoa's been disappointing, but clearly Australia's best performance of the tournament. How did you see it?
Yeah, spot on, Jimmy. It's... We've spoken a lot about their attack and the concerns that it's not fluent. We saw it all sort of click on Friday night, and it happened in probably the toughest conditions they played in as well. So that's got to be a good sign. Cooper Cronk, Billy Slater were outstanding. Michael Morgan's running game was very dangerous, and Valentine Holmes 5 tries in the finish in the corner. So. It was a complete performance by the Kangaroos, who've only leaked 10 points in 4 games. It's remarkable.
Yeah, defence has been outstanding. A couple of things, I guess, of concern out of that, primarily injuries, firstly, Michael, but secondly, the heat and the toll it took on the players. I was listening to an interview with Michael Morgan yesterday, and he said he hadn't felt as fatigued and as spent in a long, long time. How is the team going to recover in time for next weekend?
Yeah, they've had a lot of precautions this week. Right, they sort of told the players to try and minimise their time outdoors, and they had these little dip pools and all these hydration and Powerade slushies and all this sort of stuff. So they went to extreme lengths to try and keep the players' core body temperature down, and they were sort of lucky because on Friday night, it was probably the coolest day of the week that we had up in Darwin. And obviously the game probably wasn't as intense either. So it is a concern with the shortest... they travelled to Brisbane yesterday as well. So it's a concern for them, but they're on top of it, and no injuries either. So they've come through unscathed.
Well, they get the extra day compared to Fiji. So that's something to consider for that semi-final in Brisbane on Friday. Let's go to yesterday's games. In many ways, it was a story about the losing coaches. David Kidwell, I'd imagine, is under immense pressure. I wouldn't be surprised if he's removed shortly. And Brad Fittler, as the losing coach of Lebanon, is pretty much going to be confirming himself as a coach of New South Wales, I reckon, Michael.
It's remarkable that both bow out in the quarterfinals, but two totally different narratives following it. Obviously, the Kiwis are a mess. The last 2 years have been horrible. They in the Four Nations last year, they should have lost to Scotland. they beat England by a point. I think it was Wayne Bennett's first game as coach, and England in that tournament last year, and New Zealand were horrible. Even though they made the final of the Four Nations last year, they just never challenged Australia, and they just haven't even looked like a team that's anywhere near world class at the moment. They're obviously their depth. It's probably a weaker side that we've seen the Kiwis produce, but it's no excuse. They were horrible. They've been horrible this tournament. They're in. It's a reflection of, I guess, where the Warriors are at as well. There's something systematically wrong with their systems in New Zealand at the moment, at club level and international level, and they're just so far off the pace. It's not funny. And Brad Fittler, what a remarkable performance. I thought Tonga were vulnerable. We're going to be vulnerable heading into this game. I actually thought if they played a PNG or someone like that, where you knew they were going to be hard nuts and really tough, and they would have got beaten. But Lebanon surprised me. I didn't think Lebanon had it in them after the injury toll they've had and how battered and how inexperienced they are. But what a performance to push this Tongan side all the way to the 80th minute was remarkable, and it's credit to where Brad Fittler, it shows what Brad Fittler can do in a camp situation.
Yeah, Tonga and Fiji are through. Who gets through this afternoon, Michael? England or Papua New Guinea?
Oh, if you asked me yesterday, you would have said England easily. Yeah. But
I don't know England. Now, do you? It's just sort of throwing that things up
great,
in the air.
Yeah. England, but PNG will test them. PNG's probably the most, outside Tonga, they're probably the better of the sides, but I think England will have too much class for PNG today.
Do we think this win of Fiji, I know they've been to the semi-finals before. In fact, they've been to the semi-finals in the last World Cups, including this one. Does it improve their chances of them being involved in a New South Wales Cup and getting that pathway for juniors in Fiji, because obviously rugby union's a big presence over there in New Zealand as well, in Fiji as well. So this might help league compete at that level.
Yeah, well, I was in Suva and I spoke to you guys, and the players were recognised in the streets, and there was a buzz about town when the Kangaroos played that warm up game in Fiji. So it's definitely well known. League's definitely well known. It's a poorer cousin to the Sevens, probably more so than the 15-a-side game. It's the Sevens over there that really captivates the Fijians. But that we've seen what the PNG Hunters has done for PNG, and there's no doubt that they're a better side than they were 4 years ago. And the systems they have in place has made the PNG national side very formidable. And I hope that's what's going to happen with Fiji. And you know, they've obviously made semi-finals before, but it's the path they've taken to overcome, which will hopefully put rugby league on the map over there again.
Well, Michael, on a similar theme, is the sport big enough in Tonga and Samoa to do something similar?
Well, yeah, I think they're development-wise.
I reckon we've just lost Michael there. Just sound like he dropped out.
I think the development-wise, they're a bit further back than PNG and then Fiji. I think PNG and Fiji are more developed in terms of where they're headed. The Samoans have had a terrible tournament.
They were disinterested, weren't they, Michael? Seriously, on Friday.
They were very disappointed amongst New Zealand and some of the sides from the Scottish sides and some of the sides that are probably the most disappointing sides of the tournament, Samoa. They've got a fair bit of catching up to do if they're to get to that level. But you know, in 4 years' time, if they could be where Fiji are at now, I think that's a cool sign. And if Fiji can be where PNG are at now, I think that's great. Which means PNG could be where the Warriors are at potentially, sort of thing. So that's where we're heading, and it's great. We're definitely have got the ball rolling for the first time that I can remember watching international rugby league. We actually see some light at the end of the tunnel, and we're going to see some emerging nations become T1 nations in the next 4 years for sure.
I think we've certainly got enough games now for content on a representative weekend, which can help shape the schedule of the national rugby league, which I think is going to be an improvement for everyone associated with that. All right, any changes do you anticipate for the Australian side, or is that the 17 that Mal's going to continue with for the remainder of the tournament?
Yeah, I can't see many changes. He floated the idea of some changes to the bench, and with Fiji, they might look for a bit more versatility on the bench because they're going to play that.
Yeah, Munster on the bench, maybe Michael.
Yeah, so that's the only option. If I were playing New Zealand, I would have said 100% they would have been the same 17, but we might see Munster or someone like that come onto the interchange bench. But I don't know who you drop that forward rotation. Mal's gone with four forwards, four prop rotation, which he hasn't done before. We've seen Woods and Clemmer being replaced by Regan Campbell-Gillard and Jordan McLean, and the momentum those four guys are doing and the job they're doing in the middle has been outstanding. And Wade Graham gives that versatility and allows their edge, the Matt Gillard and Boyd Corners, to get a rest where they don't usually. And Frizzell plays middle and an edge so effectively. So I just don't see where that change is going to come from. So I think it'll be the same 17.
I reckon if anyone's vulnerable, it's Wade Graham.
They like him, though. They like what he can offer, and he gives them that ability to play four forwards on the bench.
Yeah.
But against Fiji, they may look at a bit more speed off the bench where Munster comes into play there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's fascinating anyway, and it's great to follow. Michael, I really appreciate your time this morning. Enjoying reading your articles during the course of the week as well, and we'll look forward to catching up next week.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Michael.
Michael Carianis there, the number one rugby league writer for the Daily and Sunday Telegraph. England v PNG. $1.13 England, $6 the Kummels, and the line is 16.5.
Any chance of an upset, James?
Not an upset, but I'd like them at the line. Now we've got to go to the quiz. Right now we've got to make a decision about who gets who. We've got Rodney on the line from Oyster Bay and Jeff from Concord. So I'll let you go first, Raymond.
You've got Rodney, are you there?
Yeah, you're going to play for Ray.
How you going, Ray?
Yeah, Rodney, how are you? You know the drill, mate. Best of luck. Here we go. Question number one. How many tries did Valentine Holmes score in Australia's win against Samoa on Friday night? Was it 5, 3, or 2?
5.
Yeah. Is that an all-time test record?
It's an all-time test record in World Cup. It's an all-time record for how early Rodney answered that question. He said
well done. He's on the ball, Rodney. That's why. Question number two, Rod. Who plays Melbourne in this afternoon's NBL match? Is it the Perth Wildcats, Illawarra Hawks, or New Zealand Breakers?
Don't really know. I'll go New Zealand Breakers.
Perth Wildcats, okay, yeah. Question number three, who was player of the match in Australia's win over England in Friday night's T20 Ashes match? Was it Elise Perry, Alicia Healy, or Beth Mooney?
Beth Mooney.
Yep, and won the Ashes for Australia too. Well done, Rod. 2's a great score. Jim, over to you.
Good on you, Rodney. Stay on the line. G'day, Jeff.
G'day, State Rail. How are you?
Jeff, why are you calling me State Rail?
You're on more stations than State Rail, Jim.
Well, that was
don't
very...
Hey, Raymond, don't laugh. I've nicknamed you Bradman.
Bradman?
Oh, mate, you're batting way above you.
There's never any doubt about that. Jeff wins the quiz.
No, spot on. I'll tell you what, Jeff. All right, does Jeff win?
Yeah, Jeff wins.
No, hang on, you can't do that. Here we go. Question one, Jeffrey. That was very clever of you. Let's hope you can be as clever in the quiz. In which Australian state is this afternoon's Rugby League World Cup?
Melbourne.
Oh, jeez.
Victoria.
That'll do. Oh. Hang on, we'll go to Alice. But Alice says it's okay. Alice says thumbs up.
Dude, what about producer Tanya there in the background there just discounting it straight away? You should have seen that. Oh, mate, I tell you, it's hard to win here. I feel like I'm the touring team all the time.
That's my brother in the backyard. Cricket, he was always a West Indies or England or someone.
You never get a hometown decision.
I was always Australia.
I'll tell you what, you know Javid Mendet, I think, was giving out once LBW. I feel like I'm a touring Australian bowler in Pakistan in the late '80s.
Couldn't get Javid out LBW.
Anyway, sorry, Jeffrey, we digress.
You're right.
How many games have the Sydney Kings won this season? Is it 2, 3, or 6?
I think it's 3.
We knew it wasn't 6.
Yeah, watched them last night. They're pretty bad.
Well done. Good.
Listen, enough of your smart mouth. You need to get this right to go into the tiebreaker. Who won the 2017 New Zealand Trotting Cup? Was it Lenny the Shark, Tiger Tara, or Lazarus?
Lazarus.
Here we go. Tiebreaker, Jeff.
Game on here.
Tiebreaker. What is the current WTA singles ranking of 2017 US Open winner Sloane Stephens?
Are you asking me?
Well, who else would I ask, Jeff?
Oh, well, there's Rodney as well.
Well, he's on the line after you.
Okay, sorry, guys. I think she's four.
Okay. Four. Stay on the line.
Hey, Rod, you there?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a tiebreaker question. Best of luck, mate. What is the current WTA singles ranking of 2017 US Open winner, Sloane Stephens?
14.
That'll do us, Rodney. Outstanding. Her ranking's currently 13, but that'll do, Rod. Well done, mate.
Good on you, Rodney. Fantastic. Fantastic. Nah, that's great. Jeffrey, fool!
Rodney played it brilliantly. Well done, Rodney.
Hey, Rod.
What's your win, Jeff? Jimmy?
Rod, what's your nearest event cinemas?
Miranda.
Miranda. Oh,
perfect.
Oh. Yeah, there you go. Oyster Bay. Yeah, perfect. Good part of the world. I've been to the event cinemas at Miranda.
You could go with Rodney and share the afternoon.
Looking forward to what's coming up on the program after 9 o'clock. No, that's not right.
That's no slight on Rodney.
No, it's no slight on Rodney. And it's no slight on Miranda, the event cinemas there. They're fantastic. I've been there a number of times. They're great. Not obviously as good as the event cinemas at Parramatta. Of course, those two tickets given to us by Prakash and the team out there at event cinemas at Parramatta. Great man, Prakash.
Anything coming through?
There is something coming through.
How do you mention that?
He is the official broadcast partner cinema partner of the Rugby League World Cup of 2017.
Was he?
Yeah. Hasn't actually led to any increase in ticket sales.
How's that working for him?
I'll tell you what. You'd reckon the Samoan side would eat some popcorn if they went there, didn't you? Wouldn't you?
Have we got time for a quick call from Doug?
Yeah, why don't we get in with Dougie?
Yeah.
Hello, Doug. You got us there, Dougie?
No, he's not there.
No, he's not there. Oh, well. Don't feel like we have a complete program unless we hear from Doug, do we?
It's just not quite Sunday the same morning. Doug rings in.
Never quite the same. Could you please repeat race tip for Newcastle race 4?
That's Gary Oliphant's race. Race 4, number 4.